Tonight, Pretty Late's positivity expert, Dr. Daphne Scott, rides sidecar for the show. Then later, we'll check in with WGN's Hannah Stanley. And finally, Pretty Late pal Adam Selzer has a new event to preview. All that and more right now on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
Greg, there's Cuban food in the green room right now. It's kind of exciting.
Yeah, I heard there were empanadas and stuff.
There's empanadas and things. Alberto Gonzalez is in the green room and has wonderful food for us tonight. I'm very excited. Also in studio with us right now is Daphne Scott. Also very excited to have you here. Why am I so mellow? I sound like a...
I like it.
Hi, everybody.
Did you bring any food, Daphne?
I did not bring any food. I didn't bring anything, Craig.
Huh.
She brought her loveliness.
I showed up empty-handed.
Right. Yeah, it's fine. Mm-hmm.
Empty-handed.
This one time, I guess. Next time we want food, though.
I was going to run across to Walgreens and get you some, you know, some beverages.
That'd be cool.
I have some quinoa sticks in the file cabinet over there, Craig. Is that not appealing to you?
Not quite as appealing as the Cuban food.
Empanadas.
I'm going to go get those. I'm going to go bring them.
Are you really? Yeah, bring those in.
I'll bring the food in.
Do it.
Yeah,
but
you can bring the guests.
Bring up. No, bring out Alberto.
Okay, all right, okay.
That'd be lovely.
Just get the food.
We actually have, want to talk later with Esmeralda about a situation she had in public with someone telling her to smile.
I love it. Craig, I really was thinking Craig needed to smile more tonight.
Oh, dear. Yeah, Craig, we can give us a smile.
Give us a smile. Tell him that as he walks by.
But not just that. Then we talk about it on the air. We discuss why it feels intensely uncomfortable. It's not the first time it's happened to us. Clearly, that's part of it. We are often like sort of stupefied. We're stunned into silence because we can't believe it's happening again.
Yeah.
And then Esmeralda gets a Facebook post that she should appreciate it.
Yeah, I got a couple of those, actually.
Okay. I love kinda,
I'm just like, I don't know what to say to you right now.
I've told you that it bothers me, and your reaction is, you should like it. Strap yourself in, lay back and relax and enjoy it. What does that mean? I'm sorry to our friends of the show, and I know that you're fans, but it shouldn't be you should like it when I tell you I don't.
It.
I tell you I don't. That's all you have to know. That's it. There's
you should
no,
just take it. Whatever I have to offer you, no matter how sullied or horrible.
In the same way I tell you I don't like it, and you think you should say you should like it, you should just hear my dislike of it.
No.
No.
You see, the problem, Patty, is that you're speaking to someone who's completely nuts and irrational.
Oh, no, I don't think that people are nuts and irrational.
I do.
That when they think we should like being told to smile.
Well, I think it's too a thing of because, well, most of the people who commented on the opposite of what I was saying are older.
Tend to be men.
Older and are men.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And it's just one, they don't understand because they don't get this. They don't get that a lot ever or ever. And then two, it's the time they grew up in, I'm sure.
I would be curious how many men... I think this would be great. I would love a man to call in who has been told as he's walking down the street, you should smile or ever. I'd love to.
Craig,
I would love that.
Called once.
Once?
That was it. One time.
By a construction worker?
No. I was walking home. I used to live pretty close to Boys Town, and I was walking home at about 3 o'clock at night, and these guys in a car started like beeping and yelling out the window stuff at me.
Right.
How'd you feel?
It was weird. It was a weird
one-off. Did you not appreciate that they were appreciating you?
Right. I mean,
you should have liked that.
Actually, as you know, a person who only experienced that once in my whole life, I was like, oh, that's kind of nice. But at the same time, I don't want it to happen.
It makes you self-conscious.
Yeah, now get that every other day.
Well, and I also had no fear of like anything bad happening. That's
right.
The other thing. Like,
right.
I wasn't afraid for my safety. I just thought some guys were telling me I was attractive.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was weird, but you know.
Yeah, and that's the other thing is if we say it's weird, that's all you need to hear. You know what the reaction should be? Huh. There's that. Not, you should like it.
Well, and the other thing I will say from my one experience, and now I'm an expert on it, they had no chance. They had no chance of picking me up. Like, that's not an effective way to do that.
Well, the same for us.
Yeah.
No one's, I would love to talk to someone who's like, yeah, no, I totally got whistled at and called baby and I went running
and
over.
And we got married.
And here's my husband.
Do you know that was, our friend Ted Novak, when he used to do overnights with us, he said that it had to have worked once for guys to keep doing it. And
no.
I don't think that that's true.
I
don't think that's
that.
Accurate.
No, I don't think that's accurate.
I don't think so at all.
No.
Because
there's that whole thing of, you know, when something doesn't work, you don't just keep trying it, but that's what we all do.
Right.
I think this is how that works.
This is one of those many examples.
Exactly.
Therein lies the madness.
Well, I want to hear a man who has been told he should smile. I'm still looking for it.
He wants you to have a conversation. He's just trying to start a conversation with you. That's not
because my favorite one was there was a comment about how, well, it's better than something worse. And I'm like, why is that? Why would that be?
I'm telling you a fact. You're going into some crazy land.
At least he didn't rape you.
Exactly. It's like, what? Yeah. Why would either of these be okay?
Thank you for the worst possible scenario. You know, there's a good scenario coming up because we have Cuban food from Alberto Gonzalez.
Yeah.
More after this on 720 WGN. We're going to enjoy some good food. I'm sorry. I feel like I'm bragging. I'm not trying to brag. Don't get mad.
I like it.
Don't get mad. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio, joined by our sidecar tonight, Dr. Daphne Scott. We've been having a conversation about an exchange at Esmeralda experience publicly on the street. And then we have two guests who are joining us from 90 Miles Cuban. Is the name of the restaurant Alberto? Is 90 Miles Cuban?
90 Miles Cuban Cafe, with three locations in the Chicagoland area.
I love that. He's very good at the promo.
Yeah, he's a great voice, too.
And where are the locations?
We have one in Logan Square, one in Roscoe Village, and the most recent one at Lincolnwood.
Congratulations on the most recent. That's one. And I love all those neighborhoods. Lincolnwood is kind of like that fun pocket between Chicago and Skokie and and Niles. It's sort of like just
the Lincolnwood, he said, has a bar.
Yeah, we have a full bar and dancing. We have salsa and flamenco night.
We might need to make an appearance at that.
I think so. And Esmeralda. I feel like we should turn Dominic's microphone. Why is his microphone facing the wrong way?
I'm trying to be as silent as possible.
What guest has ever been in a chair that's had the microphone facing in the wrong direction?
He was one who's pretty shy. I'm just kidding. I'm not shy.
Well, you were mentioning that we were talking about men telling women to smile, and it doesn't seem to have any cultural restrictions. It happens across different cultures. I would say that Latino men are very aggressive when it comes to women. When I was in Mexico City, a guy told me, La factoría de bebés es abierto. For making the baby factory.
I don't even know what that means.
The baby factory was open, basically saying that he can make babies with me. And it was not.
Esmeralda, there's an example of worse.
Yeah.
Yeah, there it is.
There it is. Do you know what I would do when men would catcall me when I was younger? I would start picking my nose.
Ew!
Yeah. If men would be like, you know, say, hey, baby, I'd be like, you like me? You like me? Start pulling my underwear. I'd be like, you like me? You like me a lot?
That is so wrong on so many levels.
Yeah.
Real quick, this food is amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Just I wanted to say. As I'm talking about picking my nose,
I apologize, yeah. Alberto. It's a story. It's true. My mother hated being with me in public.
I don't know why.
Yeah.
You like me?
You want some of this?
No.
We have Jim on the line who says that he has a comment about our conversation. Hey, Jim, what do you want to share?
Hey, good evening.
Hey.
Used to travel a lot, and it seemed like at least once a week, in a hotel somewhere, someone would say, you need to smile more. And I think, you know, I'm sitting here at a bar having a drink.
Minding your own business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why should I smile at somebody that I don't even know?
Thank you.
Shouldn't.
So you do know, Jim. You know that's weird that when anyone tells you to do something that wasn't, or you can't.
No.
My smile is not something for you to ask for.
No. And
my smile is given freely when I choose to.
Now, Jim, would a man or a woman typically say that to you? I'm just curious.
Good question.
Typically, it was a woman.
So women were usually the ones that would say it to you.
Stop it, women.
Yeah,
correct.
Stop anybody. No one should be telling anybody to smile.
Everybody, stop it.
I mean, it's the late 70s, early 80s.
Yeah.
I mean, I traveled 27 states out of Chicago, so.
Yeah, so no wonder you weren't smiling.
Yeah.
I travel for work, too, out of O'Hare all the time.
Yeah, you left the city. That was your own fault. I'm kidding, Jim. Well, do you still travel a lot?
Back then, it was a lot different traveling.
Yeah, that's true.
You get smoke on the planes.
Yeah, you could do anything. You could just walk on the plane.
You could almost do anything else.
Yeah. Anything. except smile.
What? Thank you, Jim. Yep. We appreciate you joining the conversation.
Yeah, thanks, Jim.
Thank you. See you.
Have a good evening.
Wait, Jim, one more question. Jim, you still there?
Go ahead.
Have you been told to smile lately? Have you been told to smile?
No, not really.
Okay. So right, this was typically
not
in the 70s.
I can remember in the last 10 years anyway.
Yeah. So the women.
Maybe I'm smiling too much now.
Enough with the smiling.
Enough with the smiling, man. It's you're always smiling.
Because he's listening pretty late. Thanks, Jim.
Thanks,
appreciate
Jim.
It.
See
what
I
know.
Now, see, I don't feel so quite alone now.
Right.
See?
Well, you were never alone, Daphne.
I know. That's true. I always have myself. But, you know, at least, at least you know, this is starting to seem as more of a...
universal experience.
Yeah, universal experience of people bossing each other around about smiling.
Because our friend Dominic has also said that he's a...
Dominic?
Has had this experience.
Yes. Actually, I had it more than once, embarrassingly.
Really?
Yeah.
He does have a really cute smile. That's so
yeah,
wrong.
You seem like a kind of a smiley guy.
I'm objectifying him. It's weird.
Yeah, no, we all look, are.
I just started smiling like maybe 2 years ago.
What do you mean by that?
What were you doing prior to that?
I don't know. I always was like, I don't know, discouraged or like a little, what's the word? Insecure about, I don't know, whatever. So
you were lost. Maybe you were lost in thought too.
Exactly. I'm always lost in thought. So right. Sometimes, which happens a lot, I can be walking and somebody I work with would say, hey, you need to smile more. Why are you so angry? I'm like, I'm not angry. I'm just thinking.
Yes.
I'm thinking, and
can
it
I,
happens.
Can I say, no, it doesn't just happen. We're all just thinking. We're
for the most part.
When someone disrupts your moment, you were just thinking, and it had nothing to do with them.
And then I really don't want to smile after they disrupt my moment.
See?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Look at Esmeralda's like waving her. She's like, yeah, preach. Yes. Preach, Dominic.
Yeah, it's like, let me finish what I was thinking about. I'll get back to you later. The worst is when I used to be on a train.
Yes.
And I would run into somebody I haven't seen in a long time, and I've had my music on, and I'm just in a deep zone.
Yeah.
And then they want to come speak. Why are you mad? Smile.
Ugh.
I didn't plan on talking to you today. Didn't.
Smile.
You were not part of the plan. When I woke up this morning, you weren't in it.
No.
There's also the case of B-face.
Oh, that don't get me started.
I'll say it. So resting bitch face is what?
This is a whole other thing.
This is a cultural thing.
But that's what I'm telling
people to smile. That they look prettier when they smile.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
Right.
Yes.
It's the same
or
thing.
Or why are you so mad? It's like, this is just what my face looks like.
Alberto's like, how do you like my sandwiches?
Yeah.
Can I tell you something, Alberto?
They will milk your smile.
I was going to say, if you want a sandwich, if you want something that's big and juicy, you got to have a Cuban sandwich.
There you go.
You better eat a Cuban.
You better eat a Cuban.
From 90 Miles Cuban Cafe.
90 Miles Cuban. Let's see what...
Joe,
let's see what Joe wants to say. Hey, Joe, how are you doing?
All right, how are you?
Very good. What do you want to tell us?
Well, when I was younger, I was riding my bike, and my front wheel locked, and I went over the handlebars. And
I can imagine.
He was just smiling.
I became paranoid about smiling. I just couldn't do it because I was too paranoid and, you know, self-conscious about it.
Yeah.
And I get told, you know, even to this day, I still get told all the time, you need to smile more. You need to relax. And I'm like, I just don't know how to smile. You know, I don't know how to have a natural smile because I was so paranoid about my tooth.
I am so angry for you right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't. This is what we talked about before, is that when you tell someone to smile, you're like, I'm just saying, maybe they've just gone through something traumatic that day or earlier in their childhood. Maybe they're dealing with something else that has nothing to do with you.
Yeah, it's like nobody's business if you're smiling or not.
None. Again.
Yeah, it wasn't that I wasn't happy. It wasn't that I was upset. It's just I had this complex and I couldn't shake it.
Yeah.
Well, I have a request for you, Joe. Will you at least accept a gift card from Apple Electronics from me?
Yes.
Oh, that would be very thankful.
Yes. And you know what? You don't even have to smile. I don't even care.
I don't want you to smile.
No, I want you to just stone cold face, just go to.
I want you to do whatever you want to do, Joe.
Exactly.
Thank you very much.
Or smile. No, Joe, I'm so grateful that we're getting a lot of men chiming in on this because we often, we sort of attribute this to women being told to smile and it feels like a gender thing. But I'm not surprised, I guess, that this is just something that people think they are owed from strangers in their a sort of reality. You should smile.
Well, it makes other people uncomfortable, right?
Yeah, and I also think they're thinking it's a good deed.
It's not.
Like, you don't know what smiling is. You went, what? Oh, okay, I get it. I'll do it now.
I'm just trying to make you feel better, but you didn't. So I don't know why we're still having this conversation. Joe, hold on the line. Craig's going to get your information for a gift card from Apple Electronics.
Thanks, Joe.
Thank you, Joe. And and that's the thing, people, when we tell you that something bothers us, the reaction shouldn't be, I'm not meaning anything bad by it. You should just say, I wish people would say, oh, I didn't think of it that way.
Yeah.
That's all
you have to say.
That's all that needs to happen.
How about taking the Sam Kinison approach to somebody who asks you to smile more?
Hmm.
Ah, ah, I don't want to smile. Get away from me. Ah, ah, I hate you. God, get away from me. Ah.
Also an option.
Right. Also very much. Wow, these phone lines are lighting up.
I love it.
We invited 90 Miles Cuban Cafe to join us this week because we were talking a lot about the president's visit to Cuba. And what were your thoughts when you saw Air Force One landing in Cuba?
Well, you know, it's something that that everybody's been waiting for a while. And, you know, some Cubans look at it a totally different ways, and I see both sides. I see some sides that, you know, their family was, you know, put in prison and never saw them again. And, you know, I could see how they could feel. But, you know, I needed some change. I see the Cuban people wanting some change. And I think the truth or the reality lies right in between.
And when you were young, because you fled, your family fled Cuba when
yes,
you were 11?
Yeah, we left Cuba in 1980 on the Mario Bo lift.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Because our friend Yenny was telling us that her parents couldn't really tell her what was happening because she was 9, and they were worried that she would say something to her friends or to her teachers. Do you have a memory of what it was like to prepare, or were you even given?
Yeah, my father worked for the military. He actually was an industrial electrician, and he did most of the subterranean bases, military bases in Cuba. So he needed to be in prison for 5 years in order for them to declassify the work that he did and then leave the country. So we actually escaped out of Cuba.
I'm so
small-minded.
Well, because I think that our relationship with Cuba and what's gone on there has always kind of been in the background, and we make jokes, and it's in movies or television shows. We think of, you know, Desi Arnaz is sort of the last portrayal of going back and forth, because even on the series, do you remember they go to Cuba on I Love Lucy?
Yeah.
And then we've had decades of this relationship that is based on whether it's, you know, like you said, people who've been imprisoned. There's been a control over expression.
Exactly.
And the ability to even, you know, enjoy life. There's no Wi-Fi. There's no, whether the plumbing is older or, you know, people are like, oh, the cars are great, because the only thing they can do is keep fixing the old cars.
Exactly.
They're constantly telling people to smile also.
can we take a break here, and we're going to keep you if you're up for staying a little bit longer.
Yeah, not
and
a problem.
Talk to you after the news. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue, joined by our sidecar tonight, Dr. Daphne Scott, positivity expert.
You.
And it's positively exciting.
Oh, it's so
see what
positively
I did?
Exciting.
See what I did there? Have our guests, Dominic and Alberto. Alberto Gonzalez is the proprietor, owner, creator of 90 Miles Cuban Cafe. What inspired you to create this restaurant?
I needed to pay the bills.
Oh, that'll do it. There you go. I know, but I mean, people, there's something different about deciding to, you know, I mean, go all in on opening a restaurant. It's not that easy of an endeavor.
No, it's not. I was in the mortgage business, and in 2008, you know, everything went south, and I needed to reinvent myself. And I traveled through, you know, the Midwest. I've been here in Chicago, and I knew that, I always knew that I could do it better.
Yeah.
So basically, I created a small sandwich shop. And CNN.
What?
CNN
what?
Came in. They were doing a story in AIG, and they were very impressed with the lines around their building. And then they aired us in the 5-minute segment. And next thing you know, the Food Network picked up on it, and they did a show on us.
Awesome.
And, you know, I kept on. And now we have locations.
Was it one of those, what were the chances? Or was that someone that you knew that said, hey, send CNN over?
They were doing the story,
just
and
stumbled
they just,
on you?
Just decided to stop by and have lunch.
Well, we're glad that they stumbled on you, and that you happen to be there to be stumbled on.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's a great story.
I don't want to make Elizabeth hold on too long, because we were talking about two things. We're talking about 90 Miles, a Cuban cafe, and the wonderful sandwiches that they have there. But we also have Elizabeth on the line, because we've been talking about smiling and
or being told.
Well, it's a smiling topic. Elizabeth, what do you want to tell us?
I have the exact opposite problem. I'm always told I'm smiling too much.
or when you don't smile, that's when people are like, why aren't you smiling? Do they ask why you're not smiling when you don't?
Yeah, then I get the resting bitch face comment.
Yes, yes. Okay, so, and I don't know about you, Elizabeth, but here's what I want people to know about my smile. My smile is what keeps you safe. If I'm smiling, that means you're not. See, Elizabeth.
Ooh. Ooh, I just got chills.
Elizabeth, do you have an explanation for that? Because I'm not sure how to explain it to people.
Well, I feel if, you know, you look warm and welcoming, and you know that you're approachable.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you're not smiling, you're kind of giving off you know, just a vibe of don't come by. And
right.
In the wild, you know, when...
Well, yes, go ahead.
In the wild, when an animal, you know, bares its teeth, it's danger.
Mm-hmm. Right, Elizabeth?
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Depending on the type of smile you have.
Yes. Yeah. I have to say that, yeah, because I smile so much, when I'm not smiling, people ask me what's wrong. So, Elizabeth, you and I have to practice relaxing and just, you know what, let the chips fall where they may.
Exactly.
Yes, because I find that I'm also in a better mood. There's a chemical they say that when you smile,
it is true,
is actually like endorphins are released in your brain. Yes. You can actually trick yourself into a better mood. Now, that's not what people are telling you to do when they're requesting a smile.
No.
But is that one of the reasons that you smile too, Elizabeth? Even if something's bad, you're like, I'm just going to get through this.
I just like to smile.
Yeah.
It makes me happy.
I just like smiling.
Deal with things better. So.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Thank you, Elizabeth.
It's weird when you get the other aspects of it. So
yeah,
you ladies have a good night.
Yeah.
Thanks, Elizabeth.
I get that. I get that you smile too much. Alberto, do you get that as well? That you
I'm
smile
always
too
smiling
much?
On the inside.
On the inside? When it's on the outside is when we should worry?
Yes.
You smile a lot.
I'm a smiley type of guy.
Do you get that, though, when people say you smile too much?
Not really. No, because I'm, you know, I have a very subtle smile. Like, I'm always like...
Yeah, it's not scary. It's not off-putting.
No, it's not.
It's just...
It's not over
content. Done. I would say content.
Yes.
And you are Dominic's uncle?
Yes.
Is that how you introduce yourself?
Yes.
So, as an uncle, do you find that he's been happier now that he got out of the mortgage industry and is making sandwiches for people?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Easily. Yeah. Easily. But, like you said, it's when he's not smiling when I'm like... okay.
Look out.
Something's not right, Unc.
Mm.
It's a lot of stress with the job.
I would imagine. You've got three locations, one Logan Square, one in Roscoe Village, and you were saying at your Lincolnwood location you have live music, dancing, and on the weekend, what do you have coming up?
Well, I have
Papo Santiago playing tomorrow.
Yes.
From 8 o'clock to 11, I want to say.
Yes.
Yes.
And the thing is that whenever there's some place where there's salsa dancing, people come from everywhere to hear live music, to dance.
Yes. And then on Tuesday,
the flamenco?
Thursday we got flamenco. And then next month, starting on Tuesday, we're going to have salsa lessons.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. When are the salsa lessons?
On Tuesdays.
On Tuesdays. What time?
They're going to start at 7:30.
And how can people get information for the salsa lessons?
They could go on our website. 90milescubancafe.com.
I'm like leading him on. Like,
and what is that?
And what is your website? Go ahead. What was your website?
90milescubancafe.com.
Wonderful. So, yeah, people want to learn how to salsa dance or hang out with other people who are interested in the music and do a little dancing.
And get lots of smiles at the bar.
Yeah, just have a big Cuban.
Yeah. Nice and juicy.
I'm married. Alberto, are you married?
Yes, I am.
All right, then. Don't encourage us to participate in bad behavior.
Well, she likes
talking about the empanadas.
Oh yes, no, I forgot. what's the street for the one in Lincolnwood?
Tui and McCormick is where the
by the mall.
Yeah, the Lincolnwood Town Center. It used to be a Ruby Tuesdays, and we picked it up and we rehabbed it completely.
Oh.
Yes.
I know, isn't that fun?
It's in the mall.
It's
not kind of by the mall.
No, it's in it.
It's in it, but we have a separate entrance, so we have a 2 o'clock license.
That mall fascinates me. What drew you to that?
2 o'clock.
To
2 o'clock.
2 o'clock a.m., yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's nothing else happening there.
Nothing.
So there's cars parked there. People are either folding shirts at the Gap or they're at your restaurant dancing.
Yes.
Yes.
That was two interesting choices.
And then we're going to have a patio as well.
I meant to say Old Navy.
You're going to have a patio as well?
Yes.
Yeah.
Palm trees. The works.
I'm trying to imagine where you put where the patio goes. So by the
right in front
off the parking lot.
Yeah, yeah,
right,
exactly. Yeah,
excellent.
Right there,
and you can't miss it if you drive down McCormick.
Yeah,
you will see the big bright lights. You cannot miss it.
Well, plus you should have like just speakers on either side of Tui.
They're coming
and just blaring. and
you can smell it. You can smell it from far away.
Food.
Yes.
How has it been? How long have you been at the location?
5 months.
5 months. And
yes.
What's been the reception?
It's been incredible.
Do people go in there and they're still like, "Where's the buffet?"
No, I mean, you know, our brand is very it sticks out,
yeah,
and a lot of people know who 90 Miles is, and we got a great following.
The reason I make the jokes is because my sons go to they have a play date there once a month in the area, so
yeah.
Steve and I would go on dates to the Ruby Tuesday to just that location.
So
this is exciting.
Yeah,
I have, because when they closed, we were like nowhere to go now, and now I have somewhere to go.
Now you have somewhere to go.
I can go to 90 Mile Cuban Cafe.
I'd be by the bar.
Me too.
Smiling.
Me too.
What I like is that your patio is right there, not that far from the parking lot. No, so,
it's right there.
Yes.
You know, I and also just have a couple drinks and just stagger into Patty's car.
No, also the Uber driver can just pick you up at the patio.
Well, I'm not going to drive myself. You would have to drive. Well, or Uber.
We'll Uber.
Yeah, we'll Uber.
I'll send you home. can you tell us a little bit about what makes Cuban sandwiches unique? Because everyone, when they know. I mean, but let people who have never had one before understand.
Well, a Cuban sandwich is all about the balance of meats and flavors, mm-hmm. You know, and a nice toasty bread. So basically, you know, what we do is we roast our pig, or, you know, we roast our pork.
Are you worried that people will get too much of a connection there between the... They're savvy. They get that it's a pig.
Yeah, they get the pig. Yeah. I mean, basically, we do a pig roast on Thursdays, and really? It's all-you-could-eat pig roast.
Look at Dominic's like, don't tell everybody about the pig roast.
Yeah, we do a pig roast. It's, you know, we got quite a following for it. But basically, you know, a Cuban sandwich is pork, ham, pickles, mustard, Swiss cheese. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just press that sandwich, and it's all on the press, and, you know, making sure that you melt all those flavors together, you fuse them together.
So good. And the empanadas, I'm having one that has goat cheese. It's outstanding.
Oh, yes. We have a tremendous land of empanadas. Today, one of my managers says we should call 90 Miles Empanada Land, because we got 12 different types of empanadas. We have veggie empanadas. We have, you name it. We even have a chocolate empanada.
Oh. Chocolate.
Yeah, hello. It's amazing.
I'm there. I'm coming for that.
That's a good one. Yeah. What brought you to Chicago from Miami? Your family? Oh,
love.
That'll
love.
Do it.
Yeah, I met my wife at a nightclub. It was love at first sight.
She was from Chicago?
She was from Chicago. Her father's Cuban, so she was visiting her dad in Miami, and we just glanced at each other, and there was love at first sight, and she went, like I like to say, she went fishing to South Florida.
Too much fun. Dominic, where did you grow up?
Chicago.
Oh, what part of Chicago?
West side of Chicago.
West side?
So not too far from the United Center.
Okay, where'd you go to high school?
I went to two high schools. I originally went to Weston House, then I transferred to Lane Tech.
What?
Yep.
L-A-N-E.
I didn't have that much school spirit.
He wasn't quite as into it as you were, Patty.
Nah, you went to Lane Tech?
No, I just know the cheer.
Yeah, I wasn't the cheering type. In fact, I might have been in detention.
Be fearless and bold for the murder. Oh, wow. You will ever be true.
You really know the song.
She knows it better than me.
She knows it better than anybody.
When they sing,
someone's listening and goes, she just got that backwards. To you will I be true, be fearless and bold for the myrtle and the gold. Go lay.
Are you saying for the murderer and the
myrtle?
Gold?
Myrtle.
Shut up. It's myrtle.
What's a myrtle?
Not you, Dominic. Myrtle. It's green.
Yes.
More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. I'm not sure if my guests wanted to leave, but once Dominic told me he graduated from Lane Tech, all bets were off, and I'm holding them at least until midnight now. But off the air, Alberto was telling me a wonderful story about what is actually in your restaurant in Lincolnwood.
Yes, our sinks in the men's and women's bathroom, they're the original sinks from Lane Tech.
I don't understand. Yeah, they got them from like a salvage, architect
yes,
salvage.
Yeah, exactly.
That's great. I mean, so did they tell you the story of that?
Yeah, they told me the story behind it. And the reason why I did it, because the Lincolnwood location, I wanted to create a restaurant that looked like it's been in Cuba for 70 years and it seemed the best of time. So we picked up the sinks and we just cleaned them up and just put them in place and they look beautiful.
And when they say original, though, because Lane Tech was built in the 1930s.
The 1930s? Yes.
And they're porcelain sinks?
Porcelain sinks.
I have to go just to see the sinks.
Yeah, we had a comment. We had a review. We got a 5-star, and the lady was just saying, love the place, but they got to clean the sinks.
Oh, because
she didn't get it.
Over years, you're going to get like the water, like
exactly.
The wearing away at the porcelain.
Exactly.
And, well, because you know, Dominic, we at Lane Tech have the work projects. The WPA painted these priceless masterpieces up and down the hallways in our lunchroom. Have you ever had a chance?
Yes.
You have
taken
a tour because, I mean, there's actually a lot of portraits depicting Native Americans and industry, and it's quite a remarkable kind of tour for what was going on during the Great Depression. And in the library, the wood carvings. I could go on and on about Lane Tech. So. But thank you for saving some of our original pieces and the sinks. That's so cool.
I know.
And you were saying to Daphne that you had other elements throughout the
restaurant. What we did was we put a Subway tiles on the walls, and we cracked them with the hammer and then put the grout on it. And then the ceiling, we made it believe like a water damage. So we wanted to build a restaurant that looked like it's been in Cuba for 70 years and it's seen the best of time.
Right, and the worst of times.
And yes, the worst of times, yes.
So the reviewer was saying that maybe there's something bad had happened in the bathroom, not getting that
exactly.
It was actually created
right.
To represent. Do you need to put, like, maybe you need to put a plaque up? This bathroom is
in memoriam of Cuba.
Yes.
Or I should say, I wasn't smiling when this bathroom was created.
There's well, like a picture of you over the sink, both sinks just frowning.
Yeah, with a baseball bat.
Well played, Alberto. Well
Very
played.
Very nice, Alberto.
Very nice. And so is this a family venture? Is your wife also involved?
Yes.
And how has this been for your relationship? Because it's got to be hard to get into business with family.
It's hard. We spend a lot of time together, but we have a great relationship. And,
by the way, honey, that's not the part he means it's hard. Not that he's spending a lot of time with you.
Yes, it's tested us, but we are... You know, just plugging it up.
Wonderful. And the food is great. So we're having the Cuban sandwiches, which you mentioned has the smoke, the pork and pickle and the mustard and
the ham.
What's the pork? Ham. Isn't that pork?
Well, no, it's ham.
You have to have the right balance of ham. And it has to be the right sweet ham. It's a little smoky, and the roasted
pig. I'm
sorry,
how am I saying something different than pork?
Yeah, no, ham is pork. I don't know if...
No, it is ham and pork.
But they're both correcting me.
They're both the same thing, but you have to have the right balance of roasted pig or roasted pork and the ham.
See?
And then you put that together, fuse it with the cheese, the mustard, and the pickles, and the right toast, and you got a Cuban sandwich.
It's a different style of pig.
Yeah,
ham.
Ham is pork, but pork is not necessarily ham.
Craig and I are together on this.
I'm really confused by what's happening.
Also, Craig, it's a beach.
Why would you fight with me? I'm the only one agreeing with you.
I know. So I thought it was fun. Okay. I know. That would be fun.
Yeah.
So let me ask Alberto,
let's do this. Alberto,
who's from an island that's surrounded by water.
Yeah.
The lake line that we have here, the lakefront, when you go to the sand, do you consider that going to the beach?
I love Chicago.
Oh, man,
I think I know what he's saying.
He's saying, no, it's not a beach. Are you saying it's not a beach?
Well, you know what? It is what it is. And, I've spent a lot of, I have great memories of those beaches.
That guy needs to go into politics.
Yeah, that was very, very good.
Dude, that was smooth.
There's no waves. It's not a beach. Don't worry about it. It's fine.
Is that what holds it back from being a beach?
I love taking my dog for a walk on the beach.
More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Really trying very hard to not just eat every single Cuban sandwich that is in the producer's booth, and the empanadas, so good, from 90 Miles Cuban Cafe. Daphne Scott, also, we're all overindulging in some food. Rob Martyrs had some of the sandwiches. I'm not accusing you guys of overindulging. Esmeralda, also, she's dancing because of her sandwich.
It's so good.
She loves it. She loves it.
Help yourself to more.
Esmeralda, off the air, was singing a song about pork. I just want to make sure everyone
knows.
Yeah,
and how delicious it is.
Yeah. Oh, my God, it was so yummy.
Wow, that was awfully sultry.
Yeah, wow.
So good. I wonder if Hannah's got a pork song. Hannah Stanley, do you have a pork song? Hannah? Wait, hold on a second. Hannah, do you have a pork? Hi.
Yeah, hi, everybody. There was a song that we used to play when we were doing Flavor HD.
Called?
About pork, yeah.
The pork song?
Pork, and it was a whole thing. But I don't have one myself that I sing.
We have to find. We should all find a song for our favorite food.
Yeah.
My favorite quote involving any sort of protein was I told Stephanie Menendez, who we all work with. Stephanie, at one point, I said something about beef, and she wrote back in an email, "I love beef so hard," and that was my favorite thing I ever read in an email form.
So hard.
I love beef so hard. Yeah.
That's
my protein quote.
Yeah, I like that.
Hi, Hannah.
Hi. I know how much you two dislike each other, so I have to keep
it. Daphne and I hate each other. We can't stand each other. That's why I'm not there in studio.
Exactly.
You know, it would break out into a fight.
It really would, and it's so uncomfortable. Hannah, you are working. You're going to be hosting this Sunday, filling in for Frank Fontana.
Yes, thank you for mentioning that. I am going to be on this Sunday, Easter Sunday, from 1 to 3 p.m. We've already had a show meeting. I'm very excited about this. It's going to be awesome.
That's super awesome.
Guests are lined up around the block. It's going to be great.
Yeah, and I see there's someone out here right now.
Really legit, we have like 5 guests for a 2-hour show.
There you go.
Wow.
Get in.
I was not invited.
Mm-hmm. Yet.
Yet.
Oh, see what happened there. See what happened. See how she did that?
Yeah.
I will discuss this with my producer. Yes.
It's always good to let them know what's going on. Craig appreciates it. I was on the way down. I'm like, oh, hey, Daphne's doing the show tonight. He's like, oh, okay.
Oh, cool.
All right.
Yeah, great. Send all the guests that I booked home.
We actually I've gotten so bad at this, Hannah, where we have a spreadsheet where I'm supposed to fill in, like, if I get, and the whole idea is that we'll come in and I was like, there's somebody else and I can't.
Yeah, no, let's be honest about the spreadsheet. We were both doing it really great for a while. And then I don't know if it was you or me that first started to slack, but I updated it the other day and the last date was a month ago before we had switched anything. Yeah, we've been a little lax there.
A little behind.
That's okay.
Adam Selzer's on tonight at 1 a.m.
Oh, 1 o'clock? Okay, yes. Good. Wonderful.
I should let you know.
It's not on the spreadsheet.
It's not. No, it's not. It's
Do
not
we ever hear back from our guest? I'm sorry. Now I'm having a production meeting while Hannah's standing. Hannah, I blame you because you were talking about having a production meeting. I never have time, so I have to do it on the show.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I don't get it. That's good radio.
No. Hannah, you are hosting on Sunday from 2 to 4 for Frank Fontana, but you, in preparation of that, I know that you and I are watching a show to take our mind off of all the details that we have to make sure we attend to. I've been watching, I'm sad when I finish every episode of OJ on FX.
Yeah, why are you sad? Because
I want more, and I can't, and I'm not binge watching it, I'm actually watching it every week. Yes.
Yeah, I'm doing both. Because I did not get into it. Nick DiGilio got into it. Ro Khan got into it. Everybody got into it. And I was like, I lived it. I'm not dealing with this. And then everybody just kept talking about how well done it was. And the acting was so spectacular. And the detailing was so great. And so one night we sat down and they had a marathon going. And we were like, my husband, Steve, and I, who might be your husband, Steve, because they've never been seen together.
That's right.
But we just don't know. but he and I sat down, and when he started watching it, and I was like, I'm not going to deal with this. And 10 minutes later, I was like, okay, I'm in. And then he ended up taping the rest of them,
on your VCR.
A thing.
Your Betamax.
Yeah. Sorry, my brain just went down this whole thing with cable boxes where you had to slide the thing over. So he recorded them on the DVR for me.
There you go.
Where I could watch anywhere in the house.
Oh my God. That's awesome.
And so I did get caught up. And now, because we are caught up, now I have to watch it every week. And I'm like, wait, that's it?
I
thought there was like 3 more hours. And so to fill that time, I've been watching Making of a Murderer, which is on Netflix.
Yes. Well, now I was trying to explain to Daphne because she has not watched a single episode of the OJ. It's what is it called?
Another
American
reason
Crime.
To not like her. Just saying.
I am open to it though, Hannah. I'm open though. I'm open. I haven't closed myself off.
She's open to it.
I appreciate that.
See?
You've not built that wall yet.
Not yet.
It is, and a lot of what I'm about to say, I have taken from Ro. And Ro was.
All I ask, Hannah, is don't tell me how it ends.
Which one, OJ or the
okay. OJ? Don't tell me okay. The ending. Okay.
Well, I haven't seen it, so I don't know. but Ro Khan, who does afternoons on WGN, did a lot of reporting for CNN during the actual OJ trial. So he's very, very knowledgeable about this from when it really occurred. And then now his opinion weighs more heavily for me during this.
Sure.
And what he has said is that they have done such painstakingly specific work. They, you know, his house is demolished and torn down for people because that land is valuable, and they put up a new house, and they have rebuilt a house, like, just, I mean, down to every brick looks exactly the same.
Really?
And, you know, people's memoirs and just so many things are so correct and really just on point.
And
I'm
wonder,
really trying hard not to say dead on. I just don't want to.
Well, because well, and you have to wonder the confidence it took to think, well, this is going to, it requires this attention to detail, this amount of money to really tell this story. But I guess, I mean, of course it makes sense because we were all in the 90s when this all happened in 1993. Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't we be all in again? Why wouldn't we show up for this? Because
right. There's
something that's also retro about it. You kind of tap into who you were and what you were doing at the time. And, oh, my God, that's just like when I saw it. I was watching it on television. And, oh, that's what happened that day. I remember that day when the forensics expert completely imploded on the stand.
Yeah.
And when OJ tried on the gloves. And I never would have thought that, like, Darden, you know, sort of it was his idea. But then he wasn't going to do it. And he got tricked. It is unbelievable.
Intense.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think a big story that hadn't been told was the whole Marcia Clark side of it, where she was going through this custody battle. She was really getting a lot of pressure from, you know, you're a female, get it together. And you know, not she was accused of, you know, having to take care of, like, home stuff by another attorney, and that just was really, you know, not appropriate.
How about on last night's episode when Effley Bailey said that one juror, you know, who had been attacked by her husband twice.
You can't handle the truth.
No. Oh, wrong movie. Effley Bailey, played by Nathan Lane, says it wasn't even rape in 1988 because they're married.
And, because of her husband.
Yeah, and Marcia Clark turns around and she goes, "You just said that out loud."
Did that really happen in the trial?
There was a juror that
he was behind closed doors.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
But is my jaw dropped when Effley Bailey says that, and she turned around and she goes, "You just said that out loud."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's so many great scenes.
My one good memory of the whole O.J. Simpson thing was I was maybe 2-3 years, I think, out of college by then. Maybe at best a year or two. Anyway, we had to dictate our notes. I was treating patients then, so we had to dictate our notes. And one day the transcriptionist comes back and she goes, "You know, hey, can you come listen to Scott's, my colleague, can you come listen to his notes? He's saying something. I cannot make out what it is he's saying. And he keeps repeating it throughout his note." And I'm like, "Sure." So I go back. She pulls the tape up. He's like, "Patient is a 45-year-old male. Period. Appears with good cognition. Is well nourished. If the glove doesn't fit, you must acquit. Period. Patient also reports that he recently just messing with our transcriptionist."
No.
And he kept saying throughout his entire dictation, "If the glove doesn't fit, you must acquit."
Wow.
Oh no.
So bizarre. Yeah.
Isn't that hilarious?
Well, and that's why you've got to see this series, Daphne.
Yeah.
Because even
I'll have to.
Johnny Cochran, like, there's an episode early on where he's trying to write the opening remarks, you know, the opening, and his wife says, "That just sounds too cheesy." Like, kind of like his tendency is
caught
to make
on.
These rhymes.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't, but she was like trying to get him to back off of that sort of persona. Oh, so much good stuff.
It alludes to a lot of the performance that went into it, which is really interesting. And the only thing that I kind of roll my eyes about, aside from, you know, Shapiro, who's played by Travolta, I think might be a little over the top. But they do make references a lot to the Kardashians because, and I get it. I mean, Kris Kardashian was very good friends with Nicole. O.J. Simpson is Kim Kardashian's godfather. And by the way, I know I've promised to never say that name on the radio, but
no, this godfather
it's in reference to this. Yeah. No, godfather. Did I say stepfather? Godfather.
Yeah, you know, you said godfather.
Sorry.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
But so, I mean, there is a close familial relationship between those two families. So I get it, but I know, like, if nobody knew who they were, they wouldn't even be a part of this.
Right.
Well, I was telling Daphne over dinner, because we were talking about kind of, you know, wanting to be seen or be around the people who are important. And I was saying that, like, this miniseries really kind of shows you both one, the creation of the Kardashians, because, you know, their dad was in the news all the time. And then
Kim, I totally forgot about.
Yeah.
I totally forgot that was their dad.
Well, though, like, and a lot of it obviously has got to be fictionalized. They're sort of creating, but there had to be moments where when they were out in public and the kids are like, "Oh, everyone knows who you are, dad. You know, you're on TV all the time. And don't they know, who, you know, say our names right at the press conference." And because some of the reporters are asking him to spell his name. time. And I think that it's interesting to watch both the creation of reality television, because we did follow this trial for 8 months. What was it, 8 months? It's the longest time a jury has ever been sequestered.
Sequestered, yeah.
And they are a creation from that reality, and then mm-hmm. became these mega stars of reality television. And so many people now, you know, I want to be famous, and if I get the right videos, or if I dress like Kim Kardashian, or if I take selfies like that,
yeah,
it is. It's such a bizarre sort of mega world that they created, and it emerged out of the O.J. Simpson trial. That's what part of his hard.
Well, and the fact that was the first time cameras had been allowed in the courtroom, right?
Oh, so,
game changer!
As soon as I saw Judge Ito, the first thing I thought of was the dancing Itos.
Dancing Itos on Jay Leno,
and because and I think that was an element. I don't know if you guys remember that Judge Ito did seem to be sort of enamored with his newfound fame, and then you do see him getting increasingly cranky, and crankier as he's dealing with all these different elements that nobody in this case ever had to deal with, whether it was the jurors or the deputies, the judge, all everybody, obviously the lawyers. It's just crazy.
Well, the lawyer, I mean, Marcia Clark's hair became a subject on Entertainment Tonight or something. They played a clip from. That's ridiculous.
That's ridiculous.
Why is Esmeralda
Williams? Esmeralda's cracking up. Because of the dancing Itos.
Did you not know?
I forgot about that.
The dancing Itos.
Like the fact that I was just like, oh, that's right. And now I'm watching a clip. It's amazing.
What was the, why was it even considered to allow the jury to be, or to allow the court case to be filmed, to have cameras in the courtroom?
Yeah,
what was that? Where did that stem from?
Has that been in one of the episodes? I can't remember.
I've not seen that they addressed the fact that it was going to be. I think it just became such a, that's not true. They did address it at one point where I think ABC hadn't broken coverage. They were like in the middle of All My Children or something. Mm-hmm. And they said, you know, NBC has gone full OJ. And they were like, okay, well, okay, we have to do this. We have to go full OJ. And so they realized there was such an audience for it that I think the networks just kind of asked. And because there was such a demand for it, I mean, it was L.A. They figured they could make a buck off of this somehow.
Right. That's kind of what I thought.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the thing, too, is that because of fame has so much to do with this case. There's fame. There's race. There is gender when it comes to Marcia Clark and also with, you know, Nicole.
Right.
And that relationship and what it means to be married. And there are these scenes and what domestic violence means. And you know, there are scenes where O.J. Simpson is being interviewed or you know, they're kind of practicing his testimony, and they ask him about, you know, how did she get those bruises? Ah, she had a few drinks and she fell down the stairs, and sort of brushes it off. And there were a lot of elements, you know, was she whoring around? I mean, there was a lot of gender at the time, talking about like, well, how she dressed and who she was, multiple partners and what kind of sex she was having.
Right.
There was all that.
And drug usage. Mm-hmm. That was another portion of it that hasn't really come into it, but they talked about it with Faye Resnick.
Well, and yeah, there's
what about Cato?
Cato's in the first episode too.
I
haven't seen him for a while.
Do you remember the whole thing though? It was about her hair.
Yeah,
Marcia Clark's hair would become such a thing.
And you gotta watch.
You know, this is a murder trial, right?
And this poor girl. I mean, like,
didn't smile very much either. It was really annoying.
But Sarah Paulson is so excruciatingly wonderful at this role.
So good,
so good.
I can't get enough of her.
Good.
Yeah.
No, she's exceptional. Now, see, here's something, though, that I haven't discussed with anybody outside of my living room. And
you've never told anyone this before, what you're about to say on air?
No, this is a secret.
Okay.
No, I really, really feel that this is something that we should discuss, and so we'll do it now. The whole advancement in science with traumatic brain injury and CTE and things that have happened to NFL players, could that have had a bearing on his rage, violence, and memory if he had actually done this and just completely blacked out?
Well, also, I mean, there was also speculation that it was such a sociopath to the extent that he'd convinced himself, like he believes the truth himself.
Yeah, he believes he didn't do it.
Right. Mm-hmm. So much so. We are hanging out with Hannah Stanley. Hannah, we got to take a quick break here. I'm going to look up why they had cameras in the courtroom. I just gotta know it.
I do too.
All right, then fine. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. We have to finish up because I've got to go. I'm so late, but we like hanging out with Hannah and Dr. Daphne Scott.
Love me some Hannah. Hannah.
Hi, you guys.
The Chicago Tribune reported on November 8th, 1994, 6 weeks after threatening to exclude television cameras from his courtroom, Judge Lance Ito cleared the way Monday for the live broadcast. So he heard lawyers representing the media who were arguing for cameras to remain. Ito ruled that state regulations governing electronic media access to courtrooms had not been violated and that he was thus powerless to deny the access. So it was the media outlets that were fighting for, obviously, because there was a lot of money to be made.
Right.
So there you go. Right. Hannah, what are you planning for Sunday? You've got 5 guests coming on your show for your film.
So far, I told Ross, who's the producer today, that we have 4 hours of content for a 2-hour show. There's going to be some gardening. There's going to be stuff to do with Easter leftovers. There's going to be potentially a paint/color expert from HGTV.
Excellent.
A whole bunch of different people. Very good, exciting stuff. I'm really, really, I love doing Frank's show. It's going to be great.
I love that you're doing Frank's show. So that's Sunday 2 to 4, and also you're gonna, you know, wherever you
one
are.
One to three.
That's what I said. 1 to 3. Yeah. That's what I meant to say. Mm-hmm. 1 to 3. Yeah. 1 to 3 on Sunday, following Dean Richards, and also go to WGNRadio.com to listen to the live stream because I know right now there are people who can hear at night, but maybe during the day they can't get the reception as well. So you can pick up Hannah's show on WGNRadio.com and iHeartRadio. All those things.
Yeah,
I love it.
Thank you, Hannah. We'll talk to you next week. You are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. I want to say hi to our Facebook friend, Ron, and let you know it wasn't just you. I know that when we were talking about Esmeralda and people saying that she should like it, Esmeralda was getting a bunch of messages. So it was a general, yours was included, but I don't mean to make you feel like you're being singled out. So it was just that I wanted to address it. I also want to address posture now that Dr. Daphne Scott is helping me figure out how to keep my because my posture is really bad. Plus, it affects everything, right?
Look at Esmeralda. She has good posture. Look at her.
Well, because you just said something about it. I went, I should sit up.
Patty doesn't know what to do with her arms.
So she was telling me to, like, roll my shoulders back and down and then kind of squeeze the shoulder blades together here.
Yeah, just a little bit, yeah.
So then, like, that doesn't make my arms feel... So if you go to WGNRadio.com, you can watch on the live stream that
that
I don't...
It seems weird.
I don't really know what to do with my arm because it seems like if you're pulling your shoulders back...
You're not supposed to just let them flail about.
But this is... What's
you can still...
I don't know what to do with my arms. It just seems like...
Oh, there you go. That's good, Esmeralda. I like that.
So if I walk like this, so...
Yeah, okay, that's good.
You guys totally are great. Normal.
Always working muscles there.
You are.
Always working. Always be working
it's
your
not
muscles.
The important ones.
We're not the only ones that I think are concerned about our posture. I do try to get my son to sit up straight. Like, I'll see him kind of hunched over like this, like when he's, you know, whether at the table or at his desk.
Yeah.
I walked up to a table of Griffin and all of his peers at Boys and Girls Club, and they were all kind of like rounded shouldered and hunched over the table.
Yeah, it's not good.
And we all are, you know, because we're always looking down, so and the weight of our head kind of makes your neck sort of, you know, stretch this way.
I saw a video, I forget who it is, it's a doctor, I'm assuming a chiropractor or something of that sort, and he had this thing where you put your back against a wall and you do these kind of arm movements, and it's supposed to help your posture.
Yeah.
And it's a thing of how you put your back to the wall, you have to put your head where it's comfortable or something. And it's like a lot of people can't do it because you're always...
A lot of people can't get the back of their head up to the wall. Right, because their spine is still stiff.
Yeah, and you're always looking down, so that's making it worse.
Yeah.
Wow.
You're making it worse.
Not Esmeralda specifically. Everyone is making it worse. She's not going around making it worse for other people.
No.
Just shoving people
in. That's why I'm a big fan of, you know, not having like an option of like standing and sitting at work and not sitting for long periods. You know, you just can't sit for longer than like 10 minutes without suddenly slumping.
Right.
So, you know, having regular opportunities to stand and sit. Look at the lady vacuuming.
Yeah.
Standing and sitting.
She's
and
like me.
Around.
She's easily distracted. In the up in the newsroom
she's
right
vigorous.
Now.
She's very vigorous. She's getting exercise.
A lot of work to do up there.
Yeah.
She's got to, you know, she doesn't just clean that room.
No, the
she's
whole building.
A lot of floors.
Oh.
So many places.
She's got good posture. That's actually what I noticed. Yeah, she did.
Well, you were telling me earlier because I have a weak left shoulder, and you were like,
although
yes,
you said.
Yeah, have they tested you for strength? And I was like, oh yeah, I'm super strong because I have done all these things where they like push apart and push down and don't push up. And she comes over here at like 2 seconds in and like my arm is sort of bent over. She's like, yeah, no, wow. Your rotator cuff is all messed up.
It's a week.
Have you ever gone to a chiropractor?
I have not.
And then they do like the back thing where they adjust it and then the stuff cracks.
No, you should just see a physical therapist. I think that would be your best.
Would they take you?
Well, who would take?
A physical therapist.
Of course.
Yes. I don't know. I just feel like you have to have something wrong to begin with. Like, oh, I hurt something or I'm this. You can't just go to be like, hey. So,
You've got the money, you can go to anybody you want, Esmeralda. If you got the cash.
If you have the insurance, too.
Physical therapists treat all orthopedic conditions, Esmeralda.
Well, no. But, you know, if you just go in and go, hey, I slouch a lot, like, are they going to take you? Or what's
Yeah.
Because I always thought it was, oh, I broke something. I have to rehabilitate a part of my body. Well, then there's, well, you know, it's like going to the eye doctor and just.
For the sake of it? You're saying, and there's nothing wrong with your eye? Well, you don't know.
Maybe not that. The, what's the one? Who's the dentist? They're not dentists. They're like the fancier ones, the ortho,
the ones that do the they
surgeries?
Do all the stuff, they do the root canal,
right?
Maxiorthodontist.
You just can't go there and go, hey, teeth, check them out.
Oh,
like,
well,
you have to have something
probably can't
wrong.
Do it like that with any sort of profession.
You probably need
to check it out.
Yeah, in Patty's case, it's, hey, my shoulder is sore.
Can I use this water jug and
don't
just
do that? That looks
here?
That looks, what? Yeah, that looks terrible.
Why do you have a water jug?
Oh, by the way, real quick.
Because we have no water in the studio. How about those cup of the tea? Does this work?
By the way, real quick, friend of the show, Peachy, called in. She said that she's moving soon, and she's got a few items that she might be looking to move, including a TV for Declan. She has a little TV that she wants to give Declan.
Aww.
So thank you, Peachy,
sweet.
For
thank
calling
you,
in.
Peachy.
Yeah, very nice.
Sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Peachy.
Very nice, Peachy. Thank you. Good luck on your move, too, by the way. That's not easy to do.
Those are never easy.
Never easy to do. The other element that I was hesitant to bring this up when we were talking about my posture, but I'll go ahead and do it. We've talked about it on the show before. I am interested in possibly getting a breast reduction. And this is something that's hard to talk about because guys are always like, oh, don't touch the girls. And women often say, I would kill for what you have. But, oh, yes.
Your shoulder pain? They'd kill for that? Your neck pain? Your mid-back pain?
My permanent bra marks. I'm a 34G. Sometimes a 32F. Depends.
G. Gosh.
No, it's a 32G, 34F. Yeah, it depends. Depends on the bra. Yeah. Depends on the where I hook it.
The day.
Yeah, and time of month. But
sure.
So it can be painful. I have actually wanted to have a breast reduction since I was 14. I know it sounds so strange. I was a D cup when I was 14 years old, and I only weighed about 105 pounds. And that was when you were showing me how to stand up straight, and you were telling me to make sure that I took care of my lower back as well.
Yeah.
That was when I had that problem because I didn't have a strong core.
Top heavy.
I was a little bit top heavy.
Yeah.
And so I you know, then you go through life and you just kind of, and I never felt like that these were mine. Like, you know, people always make a judgment about me because of the way the clothes fit me.
Oh.
People kind of just have this idea, well, if you're curvy, if you're showing off your boobs. I'm not always showing off my boobs, just the way clothes tend to fit me. If I want to wear something nice, sometimes the cut, maybe you see more than you think you should, but there is actually more than you think there is.
Right. That's part of the whole illusion.
There's a lot going on there.
No,
so.
Amen. It's hard to cover stuff up sometimes. I mean, my beer gut is not something I'm trying to accentuate, but it's always there. It's a nice little part of my T-shirt now.
Right. There you go. Yeah. Uh-huh. See?
So there's that. So,
well, I think, you know what I think is important about this conversation is just, that we're all judging each other.
Right.
I think that's really what's important. We all just judge
ourselves
and treat each other as objects.
Yes.
And criticize one another for our bodies and the way we're shaped and those types of things. So if we could continue that, I think that
nice
will make
message.
Our that's society a lot better.
By the way, we got a phone call from Helen. She says that even though you are a physical therapist, you're wrong. You don't know what you're talking about. You have to have a specific,
ailment?
Diagnosis from
someone
else.
Do have to have a referral from a doctor to see a physical therapist. Yes,
okay.
That is true.
All right, Helen.
Yeah. So Helen, Helen, you do have to have a doctor's prescription to see a physical. In the state of Illinois, let me just say a little bit more.
Yeah, go ahead.
Only in the state of Illinois, actually, in most states now they have direct access.
Oh,
you do not have to have a physician referral. And the reason that they don't want physical therapists being able to have direct access is you can put two and two together on this one, much like chiropractors have direct access. So anybody can see a chiropractor. Anybody can actually go see a personal trainer. You can go see a personal trainer without and have them just give you a bunch of exercises. You can actually go see a licensed practical nurse, you can go see a lot of people, but not physical therapists.
So you have to have a doctor's referral, but you can...
Who are doctorally educated.
But for Esmeralda's question about having... who are...
Doctorally educated, but that's okay.
PTs have doctorates. She isn't, but she's fine. She's cool with that.
Yeah. It's totally fine. It makes
totally
sense.
Fine. Totally fine.
Makes a lot
totally
of sense.
To Esmeralda's question sense. About whether or not, can she just tell her doctor that she has bad posture and would like to work on that with a physical therapist?
Yes.
So then you would get your doctor's referral. That
correct.
Way.
Yes.
Sweet.
And go to your primary care physician. Tell them what you want to work on. Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
Nice.
But I think what she was saying before and what Helen was correcting is that it's not like something has to happen to you. We were not saying like you have to have an injury in order to go see a physical therapist.
Right. Because that's what I always thought.
Right.
Nice. Cool.
You can have a condition, which is poor posture. That's a condition.
Yeah, that is postural dysfunction.
Ooh, there you
it
go.
It actually has a diagnosis code and everything. It's ICD-10. It has a real code.
PD.
Should I keep going?
PD.
Want me to keep going?
Okay. What's the code for ED? More for this on 720 WG. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Earlier today, we learned about the death of Gary Shandling. Actually, coming up after the 1 a.m. news, maybe we'll play a little bit of his very first appearance on Johnny Carson. I posted that on my Facebook page, and I actually remember seeing him when I was a kid on Johnny Carson, long before what was the name of his talk show, the fake talk show? Not Gary, the Gary Shandling show. Larry Sanders, the Larry Sanders show. Sanders. I knew it would come to me, but I've been a fan of his. I was always a fan of his stand-up. He always had this great sort of bewildered and put upon look. And I loved Gary Shandling. I loved his sensibility. I loved his stand-up comedy. And it is a tremendous loss to the stand-up comedy community. And when I saw his passing, I saw that he was 66 years old. And that was one of the things that people started asking right away. It was like, oh, how old was he? And a lot of people were saying he was so young. Because 66 does feel so young. And one of my friends was mentioning earlier today that when we were younger, though, did it seem like 66 was that young? When we were growing up, now it seems, because I don't know if it's we're getting closer, it seems within reach. It also seems desirable to make it to that age and past.
Also, you know, who wants to see themselves as old? Like, you know, we have our own biases, right?
Right.
Like, so it's like, I'm not going to say, oh, 55 is so old when I'm like, you know, 10 years away from being 55.
But when you're 10, it is.
Right, when I'm 10, it's like, it's a huge number. 55. It's barely crazy. Count to 30.
Are you finding this year that that the celebrity deaths seem to be hitting people hard? David Bowie, Alan Rickman.
Yeah, everyone's guys are young.
And Gary Shandling. I mean, it seems like every sort of industry, everyone goes, oh, that was somebody I really looked up to. That was somebody I really admired. I loved their work. Gary Shandling, again, a tremendous loss to the world of comedy and entertainment, and of course to his family. Our sympathies to his family. 66 years old, he died of a heart attack.
Well, and I mean, I do think that, you know, 60, 65, 66, I mean, it is young for someone to not be here, you know, physically. So, yeah, I think it feels young to me.
Yeah. What comic book movies was he in that wasn't he in? He's in Avengers. Doesn't he play a high-ranking politician in the Avengers movies?
Yeah, you're right. In the Winter Soldier movie, he plays one of the politicians who's actually also part of Hydra.
He was so good at being smug. There was just a delightful, delicious smugness. Like, there are actors who do smug and you just kind of hate them, but Gary Shandling, like, oh, he's so good at that. He was a delightful actor and comedian. But, and Johnny Carson had him on in 1981.
Wow.
I know. That seemed like so
81.
Long. Yeah. And he was, and it was great watching the intro to Johnny Carson introduces him. And it's funny because Gary Shandling actually starts with a sight gag. So I might ask Craig to go a little bit later into that set because he's got a pen. He goes, I was at the bank today, and he pulls out a pen and it's got the chain on it. He's like, hey, they got these great pens. He goes, pop it right off. And I was so surprised to see like a sight gag on a Johnny Carson set.
I remember that.
He had another joke that I loved. I don't know if it's in that set because I didn't have a chance to watch the whole one, but it was that he has a mirror over his bed, you know, so when he makes love, it says objects may be larger than they appear. That's a lot of fun stuff. I enjoyed it.
So good.
Yeah, very, very good stuff.
Yeah.
It's funny, I haven't been watching that much television. I don't watch that many half-hour comedies anymore because now we kind of consume things so much more quickly. I am getting into Orange is the New Black.
Oh, you just started? I was into that for a while.
Did it get weird?
Well, you know, it didn't...
Craig's nodding because he doesn't like season three.
Yeah, I haven't even seen all of season three. It kind of...
Something for me just sort of... I don't know if it started to feel like some shows can feel, where it's sort of this sort of predictable kind of...
A guard wants to have sex. A guard wants to deliver drugs. It's sort of like that. The rednecks and the ghetto prisoners are all going to hate each other.
And I want to say, Piper's character I found completely unbelievable.
From the very beginning?
From the very get-go. I had a really hard time believing...
That she would have participated in smuggling?
She's based on a real-life person.
Is she based on that flight attendant that ran away from the TSA?
Yeah, I think who it is.
I don't necessarily disagree with that the story of that person couldn't happen, but her character, they just, to me, like, she was so ditzy. They made her so ditzy. And then all of a sudden, she was this brilliant schemer, conniving character. You know, she'd have these, like, weird, and it became very unbelievable to me. Like, the character was just too... polarized.
So for you, the compelling part of the series has been everybody else around her? I mean, to watch it at all, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, and the acting itself.
Kate Mulgrew.
Yeah.
As
crazy.
Red.
I mean, amazing.
So good.
Yeah. All of them.
I don't know if the Netflix series planned on a certain number of seasons when they all started, when all these shows kind of got off the ground. I don't know if they thought they were going to be more than like a season or two.
Right.
Yeah. Because House of Cards is also kind of dealing with that. I don't know if anyone's seen the other seasons or is seeing the new one. But it, you know, he's already the president. He's like, what else are we supposed to do now? It kind of feels like we're repeating
some
of the same stuff again. Yeah.
Stuff.
Yeah, are you spilling things on my counter?
No.
All right, then.
You saw nothing.
By the way, Daredevil is amazing. If you guys want to watch something on Netflix.
Have you watched every episode already?
I've seen all 13 episodes of Daredevil. And it came out.
How have you not binge? Can you binge challenge yourself?
I did. I mean, I should interview
for
myself
for your podcast.
Yeah.
I think you should just have like your own podcast because you've apparently binge challenged
yourself.
It's really good though. Anyone interested in Daredevil, you should see it.
It's so dark. I do like the actors. I watched the first two episodes, and there's a lot of beatings.
Yeah, there are.
There's a lot of beatings.
A lot of beatings.
Did you get a chance? You were thinking about going to see Batman versus Superman.
I didn't see it today, no. I saw a couple of my friends post that they liked it, but a predominant amount of people seem to think it's awful.
I have never seen someone so heavily roll their eyes in the sidecar.
Watch, let me do it for you.
Your whole head.
She actually also, like, there was, I could hear breathing, too.
Yeah.
There was a lot of, all that.
Is it all superhero movies or this one in particular?
No, that one. No, I actually... If you must know, Patty, now we've never discussed this.
Please.
Let's go.
I used to collect comic books. I still have. I still have.
Wait,
I have the very first issue.
You just said at dinner you said things.
I don't know what I said was. I think Superman versus Batman is just a stupid storyline. That's what I said.
Oh, that's not
I didn't say anything about comic books.
Because
I didn't
Superman
say...
would immediately blow up Batman.
Oh, well, sorry. Besides that, but it's
come on.
I mean,
so I have a comic
why do we
book.
Need them fighting each other?
I have a comic book that this is based on, and I'm going to go ahead and loan it to you next time I see you, Dr. Daphne Scott, because you should read the comic book and you'll like the idea.
Since you just said that
I'm
when
open.
You were younger.
I am open to reading it. I am open to reading it.
The graphic novel is awesome. Apparently the movie did not do it justice.
Apparently you need to talk to Esmeralda as well. She needs a copy because
he would blow up Batman.
Just don't get it.
I don't either. He can fly.
Batman looks like a jerk. Looks like a straight up jerk. I mean, I know Ben Affleck is playing him. So,
and that's the thing I have an issue with is that you take an actor, a character that has been developed and beloved by Christian Bale. People have really come to love him as the Dark Knight.
But I mean,
and you replace, and I know that Christian Bale didn't want to do it. Right? Is that part
he was
of
busy?
Christian Bale did not want to do anything that didn't involve Christopher Nolan. And even though Christopher Nolan helped, I think, produce this movie, he was not involved in writing or directing.
Right. So you have now Ben Affleck step into a role that was so perfected by Christian Bale, at least to many people.
Yeah, it was.
And then you also have the guy who's playing Superman, who was not actually even liked that much by most superhero fans.
Right.
And you put both of them together, like, it doesn't...
It was a recipe for disaster,
Disaster.
I mean, I know Batman is inherently kind of a jerk.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because he has issues and all of that.
Sure, that whole dark story.
But Ben Affleck just... just from the trailers, I'm like, God, he's such a jerk.
Well, let's see what Matt thinks.
Let's hear what Matt thinks. I want to hear
Hold on a second, Matt, you just saw it?
Yes, unfortunately, I didn't make the cut, though. I worked on some of the Chicago scenes on a ferry boat. Maybe I'll be on the DVD. But,
are you sure you weren't from the one with the Joker in the second one? Because that's where they had all the prisoners on a ferry boat.
Speaking of Joker, I was on The Dark Knight, but I was only in the bar when Joker was on TV, so I didn't get to see him. I just heard his voice on a tape loop.
Cool.
So I can say I've been a Metropolis member and a Gotham member.
There you go.
Chicago, you know, we double as both cities because we're cool enough like that, right?
Do you do a lot of, yes, do you do a lot of work as an extra?
Yeah. I've got feature on Chicago PD. I've done, you know, a lot of the movies, Ocean's 12. That was my first in 2003. And just been doing a lot here and there. Chicago's really happening lately.
Yeah,
so,
it's a lot of fun. Do you go in for auditions as well, or are you mostly featured extra?
Well, I've been auditioning. Yeah, it's a battle just to nail a good one, you know, for a good project. But I don't know if you ever saw Kill Game. It's kind of a Scream sort of I Know What You Did Last Summer type movie. I'm a credited character in that movie,
cool.
Coach Novotka.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I didn't have lines, but I got to interact with the actors. But anyway, back to Gotham City. I just got out of the theater, and I don't even know exactly what you all think, but I heard a guy mention a graphic novel he let you borrow. I don't know if he was talking about Dark Knight Returns.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Yes. They reference it beautifully in a couple moments in the film. I really think Zack Snyder is amazing at capturing comics in the filmic, you know, medium. Sorry.
Uh-huh.
He grabbed exact panels out of Dark Knight, you know, you saw in the trailer, I'm sure, from The Dark Knight Returns by Frank Miller.
Right.
He's got just a great visual sense, and, you know, he really makes beautiful scenes, almost like a perfume commercial.
Matt,
but with lots of bombast.
It sounds like you liked it.
Yes, it was fun. Fun times. Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to, I overheard, you know, the lobby was cramped with people, like, arguing and discussing, and My buddy was trying to describe something to me with a certain character that popped up that you might not know is in the movie. But, yeah, it was fun. I mean, Zack Snyder did Watchmen. I mean, everybody's talking about Deadpool, the new rated R superhero movie.
So
but
fun.
Zack Snyder did Watchmen, you know.
Right.
And that was really rock and roll, I think, anyway.
Well, I'm glad.
That was a bit long.
Which one?
Watchmen.
Watchmen was great visually. It wasn't
right.
The story wasn't as compelling as maybe the book was.
You didn't like the ending. You didn't like the ending.
That's what I hear about this movie too, Matt, is that it's not quite as compelling.
Right. And also, I mean, even us from this area, you know, I'm from out in the burbs in Aurora, you know, Wayne's World, Party Time, excellent. But really watching, it's just fun seeing Chicago. They really present it in a cool light, you know. I mean, you know, in Detroit, and they kind of blend them nicely. I mean, we all will notice things like, wait a minute, that's not Metropolis. I know that building.
That is always fun to see Chicago as a character in a movie. Well,
I'm out here near Yorkville, which was Smallville, you know, and Plano and Aurora. They shot Man of Steel here. They destroyed the IHOP down the street, like 2 minutes from where I'm sitting right now.
Yep.
So it's just fun. It's fun for me, you know, the drone camera capture in the Yorkville Cemetery. And here I am watching, and I'm telling my buddy, there's Yorkville, you know.
Yep. So many things in the movie that everyone should catch up with. And I mean, I think it's probably one of the elements that people will enjoy. Thank you so much, Matt. Have a safe ride home.
Then I went to the laundromat today because they have free clothes at the laundromat, and picked up a few things, and I love going to the laundromat because you see people wearing the last thing they want to wear. Have you ever noticed that? People are wearing Bermuda shorts and a Nehru jacket, and I just don't want to see that. Then I had dinner tonight at a little restaurant, you know, when you go in a place and they say, sit down, we're going to call you when your table's ready, and you sit down and you listen for your name over some cheap speaker, you know, and you never hear your name. What you hear is, so, party or two? So. Is that us? You go ask him, honey. You look stupid. You go up there and find him. I'd feel funny, honey, but you're dressed for it. Go on up there. What they should do is just describe the people, see? Then we'd know who they're talking about. They could just go, the couple with the ugly children. Your table's ready? And we know it's these people over here. We're so sorry. You want to cover those kids up? We're going to try to eat here. Thank you very much. Is that a nuclear accident or what? My God. I ate dinner last night at a friend of mine's house, and he has, what do you call those things? Baby. He has a baby. And I'm a single guy. I don't know how to relate to this too well, you know. And the baby's crawling around on the carpet, and this baby... loads up his diaper, you know, and I'm sitting there, you know, and the mother comes over and says, isn't that adorable? Brandon made a gift for daddy. Now, I'm figuring this guy's got to be real easy to shop for on Father's Day. to get this guy, you know what I mean? Go ahead, Frank, open it up. Go ahead. Go ahead. I made it myself, Frank, and I hope you'll... I don't have any babies. I have two dogs from a previous marriage. I have a sheepdog and I have an Irish setter. I got to tell you about my dogs, okay? My sheepdog kicks when he sleeps, okay? Now, my friend said that means your dog's having a nightmare. Now, what's a nightmare for a dog? Did you ever stop to think about it? What, he's drinking out of the toilet and the lid falls? That's about it for a dog, you know? I mean, I had that one once myself and woke up screaming. But I didn't kick in my sleep. The other dog is this Irish setter, and Irish setters are too hyper and inbred, like my cousin Stuart. And what happens when it thunders, she digs up the carpet to get underneath the carpet to get away from the thunder. And the vet gave me these animal tranquilizers to give her, you know, they're doggy downers or something. I don't know what they are, but they tasted real minty and they were hard to swallow. She still goes under the carpet, but I go with her now. And we have a great time. I can't wait for it to rain now. Now, my dad, I used to go camping with my dad, and he's such a wonderful guy. He's older than me, and but he's gross. Is your dad gross? I mean, my dad comes to the breakfast table like this. What's for breakfast? Come on, Dad, we're trying to eat here, huh? Want to put a robe on or something? Just, grossing out the cat, Dad, all right? Put a sheet on or something. Then he'll unbutton his pants after he eats. All dads do this. They unbutton their pants, and then he'll unzip his fly, and then you can judge how good the meal is by how far down his zipper is, you know? And one time he stood up and his pants fell to the ground, you know, and we were at a restaurant, and all the other fathers turned and said, "Wow, what is he eating?" I used to go to Disneyland with him. How many of you have been on that ride? It's a Small World at Disneyland. Anybody scared on that ride? Just me. Great. The worst thing about that ride is for the rest of your life in your head, you hear that darn song, don't you? For the rest of your life, it's a small world. Na 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 na. Give me a break, all right? Then I went on Pirates of the Caribbean. I'm home cleaning my house. Best ride, isn't it? But I'm home cleaning my house and I'm going, yo ho, yo ho, na 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 na. No, no, I'm making love and I'm going, yo ho, yo ho, na 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 na. And the girl's going, it's a small world now.
It's Gary Shandling's very first appearance on Johnny Carson in 1981. He was born in 1949, so he was 32 years old when he made that appearance. He had been a writer for Welcome Back, Kotter and Sanford and Sons, and started doing stand-up comedy because he got tired of the formulaic writing for sitcoms. And, of course, as you can tell, became one of the great stand-up comics of all time. He was actually the regular fill-in for Johnny Carson before he left to pursue his own career and create the Gary Shandling Show and then again the Larry Sanders Show. So it was after he left and stopped filling in for Johnny Carson that Jay Leno stepped in. And that's how we how things unfolded. Hi, Adam Selzer. How are you doing? You just tried your first hand at stand-up comedy. You wandered into an open mic the other day.
Quite randomly, yeah. I had dropped a school group off of Blue Man Group, which I've seen enough times by now. So I just thought I'd wander out and have an adventure. And
doesn't it ever end differently? Like, are they, maybe they'll be purple this time.
Yeah, you know, that would be quite the twist.
Okay. So you saw that there was an open mic?
Yeah, well, I just wandered in, and they happened to be having an open mic. Hey, is any room on the list? So, you know, as a tour guide, it's kind of a similar skill set.
Sure. Comics always like hearing that. I could just go do a tour, I guess.
Yeah, sure, you probably could, yeah.
We always like to hear that somebody
It's all about just keeping people's attention, you know. It's the same thing. And
see?
It is a different animal. But
no, I mean, that's
I like
all
your approach.
Comedy is.
That's just all stand-up. I just got to keep your attention.
You don't really have to make them laugh or anything. They just got to, you know.
I want to now. What were your techniques for this attention keeping?
Oh.
In general, but as a tour guide and that you employed in the open mic,
just be funny.
Okay. There you go. That would actually
there you go.
Be
like a stand-up.
I tried to throw like a 2 minute bit together.
Okay, right, and that. How long did they give you? Was it 2 minute sets?
They didn't really have a number on it. People were doing like 4 or 5 minutes.
Okay,
so I thought of a quick opener, thought of something else, and then something to tie it all together.
Yeah, and that would be a set. What? Where was the venue?
It was a little coffee shop on Belmont.
Okay. Yeah, that's a lot of open mics. I know. That's how I started. There was an open mic in Rogers Park, and they would play this game that required these like little pebbles that were black on one side, one other. Not what were like Othello. Remember that? But kind of.
Yeah.
But they had these wood bowls with these chips in there, and you could hear people swirling them around like while they were like thinking to make their next play.
Yeah.
So while you were on stage doing stand up, you just hear the sound of all these beads.
Swirling beads.
Yeah. I still hear it in my sleep sometimes. What? How'd you feel about the reception to your stand up comedy?
I think I did all right. There were only like 6 people there.
So, that's also the fun
but
part.
But then I can go back and say, okay, so there's the great thing about living in the city. You got a couple extra hours to kill. You can go have an adventure.
Right.
So.
And are you going to try it again?
Oh, maybe.
There you go. Very nice. And you had a group in that was on a field trip.
Yeah, I've had 2 in a row, actually. The last 8 days I've been with school groups who are in from small towns in Iowa and Michigan and coming to see the city.
That's very cool.
Now, do you try out your material on them first before you know?
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit. You know, I'm joking around on the bus all the time, getting on the mic. You know, my job is sort of to point things out along the way. There's building a story about, with me, it's mostly, gruesome stories about dead bodies that they uncovered under the ground.
Right.
This place,
that's good.
You know.
He does ghost
tours. Right here. Right here, 1891, they accidentally dug up the remains of one of our earliest settlers where the Jazz Record Mart is now.
Oops.
Now, do you ever just sort of, make
things
up?
I knew you were going
to
say.
I try not to.
No,
I want it to be very obvious that it's a joke, but I find out that, when the story gets passed around, I'll make up a very obvious joke. Next thing I know, it's on Ghost Adventures.
Yes. And that's
right.
I was telling my husband this earlier today. What did he it was the house. We're going to talk about this later, about this house that was demolished on accident.
Yeah.
And I was trying to write the joke for it, and I just went with oops. Doesn't seem to cover it. And Steve wanted me to do a joke. Like, I ended up doing something also about driverless cars. And I'm like, I don't think people are going to get, they're going to be like, well, what does a driverless car have to do with Google Maps? I'm like, because. And I want to, right. Subtlety, I'm saying, can often be lost on the listener.
Yeah.
Sarcasm requires a certain amount of development, which some people never develop. But if you're talking to kids, I would imagine it's even harder to try to like float one past them.
It depends. It depends. Like, it depends a lot on the group. The same joke that'll kill with one group won't work at all with the other one.
Yeah. See, now that's the trick of a stand-up comic, too. That's the hard thing to start to be balance is understanding that just because it worked last time. Do you ever find yourself expecting a laugh?
Up to a point, when I was doing the same ghost tour, two times a day for a long, long time, over and over, one joke that'll absolutely kill with one crowd, next crowd, they don't laugh at anything.
Right.
So, it all comes down to a lot of different X factors.
Yeah, you gotta be normal, just sort of natural about it. Yes,
is it a job at all for the MC, the first person kind of up on stage to gauge the crowd for everybody else? Or they're like, does he tell a few different or she tell a few different kinds of jokes? Or no?
Every MC is different. Like my style was always kind of, cheerful and welcome everybody to the audience. Is anyone celebrating anything? And then I go into material. Pat McGann, who, bar none, is the best MC I have ever seen in my entire career, is great at working the crowd and actually makes you feel good that he made fun of you. Mm. It is one of the greatest MCs I've ever seen. Yeah, phenomenal. And I've been doing this for a long time.
Yeah.
He is the best. And his materials, he also goes into his material.
So he has a little material as the MC.
He's got a lot of material, but yes, as the MC, he'll do like the last, because then, so to your question, Craig, what the way he does it and the way a brilliant MC does it is he works the crowd a little bit, lets them settle in, gives them a chance to participate, and then lets them know that their part is done. And now the comics will take over, and this is material, and he sets the tone for the whole show.
Wow.
And if the feature act struggles and has that's the middle act. So usually you have an MC, a middle act, and a headliner. So if the middle act struggles or is much dirtier than the headliner, then the MC also should go in and sort of straighten things, sort of reset the table.
Reset,
be the sorbet, sort of cleanse the palate a little bit.
Wow.
And so do clean material, kind of get the crowd. If the feature act lost the crowd, try to build them back up. Do you know who I had to do that for one time? It was so weird. We had a guest set come in, and she just ate it. The audience hated her. I was emceeing, and it was so funny because she had come from New York, and she was very nice. But I thought, well, I'm gonna, you know, when she was done, I went up and I just threw fastball after fastball, yeah. And I felt really good about myself. Sarah Silverman had come. She was not famous yet. She was not famous. She came in and did a guest set, and she was just this young comedian.
Yeah,
and I was like, I'm watching me. You know, she couldn't get him, but this is what I do. This is my room. You came into my house, and of course, she's Sarah Silverman.
You're like, and fast forward 20 years later.
Well, fine. You know, it's fine. She was new.
She was, yeah, we were both new, but it was my home. I also knew with my room. It was
your
club
hometown.
Did she like thank you or something for cleaning up the crowd or like get you a shot or anything? Cool?
No, she was, it was fine. It was just that her material has always been sort of askew.
Yeah.
It's very, very odd. And the pacing was so different. I'd gone up and I'd been high energy, not knowing her. That's another thing is if you do know the acts after you, it's also good to sort of, you know, then change your pace a little bit. So it's not easier for them, but that's not too jarring for the audience. But she was only doing a 7-minute set. Had she been doing probably a half hour set, I think that her material, they would have started getting what she was doing, that she was kind of this uber, you know,
dry,
very dry, very, because it was over the top racist stuff,
right?
You know, she does this over the top sex stuff, and
right,
and to the point where it sounds offensive, but that's the point of what she's doing,
right?
But they weren't getting it, and I was like, and I came, I'm like, oh, that was really sad, now watch me do this. But it was a lot of, you know. But yes, so that's, I mean, that takes a long time to sort of get that under your, when, you know, as a tour guide.
Oh yeah,
you see, and you probably can't go on other people's tours because you just cringe.
Yeah,
I have to
occasionally. You know, I mean, I'm finding out that a lot of my jokes in the tours have kind of filtered through the Chicago tour guide community. So I go on other tours like, that's my line.
Oh, that's, you are like a comedian. That'll make you crazy. Yeah. I don't even know how you manage that. We are hanging out with Adam Selzer. He's an author, tour guide, one of our favorite historians here. I'm Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez and Dr. Daphne Scott, positivity expert.
Yeah.
Needs so much of that. Do you know what someone called me the other night? They call me the... You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio, joined by Dr. Daphne Scott, our positivity expert, and Adam Selzer, positively our history expert. Tour guide. What? Craig said, I saw what you did there.
Pretty good.
Esmeralda, our traffic expert. How are you doing, Esmeralda?
I'm good.
All right, then. We've all had so much to eat tonight. Let me know if you want me to bring up another sandwich.
I'm good.
So much food. Thank you again to 90 Mile Cuban Cafe. 90 Miles Cuban Cafe with locations in Roscoe Village, Logan Square, and Lincolnwood. And such good food. When you are taking people on the tours, do you point out good places for them to eat?
Oh, yeah.
Adam?
Oh, yeah. All the time.
And what are your favorites?
My favorite place to eat right now is OG's Trattoria at Grand and May.
OG's,
yeah.
OG's
Trattoria. Great, great pizza. Incredible pizza.
Yeah.
I can't really take tour groups there because they don't really fit the size of groups that I tend to get with the large buses.
Right.
That's one of my favorites. I also like to point out, I totally spacing on what street it is, but it's like 666 North something, and they call it, it's a Mr. Beef. And they call it 666, the number of the beef.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
The number of Orleans.
The number of the beef. What tours do you have coming up?
This Saturday, I'm doing an H.H. Holmes Devil in the White City tour for Atlas Obscura. That's a one afternoon tour. Then after that, I'm doing an Unsolved Mysteries of Chicago tour.
Ooh, what have we not solved?
That one's different every time. We've got so many unsolved mysteries in this.
What's one of your favorite unsolved?
One of the ones that really I've kind of fell down a rabbit hole with lately was the Dove murder.
Mm-hmm.
It's the thing, a guy named Mr. Dove walked into a garage. This was 1905 when, you know, automobile rental was still a new thing. You got a chauffeur along with the car.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple hours later, they ended up way out in Lamont, where they found Billy Bate, the driver, slumped over dead over the steering wheel.
Oh.
Never figured out who Mr. Dove was, never figured out why he would have killed Billy Bate, what they were doing through the heck out in Lamont. It was the first time anybody had ever been murdered in an automobile.
What? In the country?
Anywhere.
In the world.
Yeah, it's 1904, 1905, very, very new thing, just having an automobile at all. 10 years before, we'd had the first automobile race in the country, and, you know, it was a race from Jackson Park to Evanston and back. The winner made it in like 12 and a half hours.
Man, that's a lot of traffic.
It is. That's a lot.
It's the speed of the car, because they had to crank it, too, didn't they have...
Yeah,
I don't know what. I should never do hand gestures in the studio. This is
nope. You should stop.
WGNradio.com if you want to try to label that hand gesture. So that's one of the Dove mystery.
That's one. Another one I recently found, there was this thing, a guy named Barton Edsall. One morning they found him lying dead in the entryway of his house. He was bleeding from a gunshot wound. They couldn't figure out whether he had shot himself or if it was an accident or if a burglar had come in. The inquest went on for 2 days. It was all anybody talked about for 2 days. October 8th, 1871, they buried him. That night, the Great Chicago Fire comes through. So everybody forgot all about Barton and Solomon a later.
And that murder was never solved.
His house was burned down. Some reports say that his wife was killed in the fire. Mm-hmm. I couldn't verify that one, so that's another mystery to solve.
So for the Unsolved Mystery Tours, do you go to some of the locations?
Some of the locations where stuff happened, yeah. Okay. It's different every time, that one.
Oh, very cool. So Saturdays is the Devil in the White City.
It's both of those. You know, as soon as I finish Devil in the White City, I restart, you know, reload the bus. All right, now let's go do some Unsolved Mystery stuff.
And were you recently at the Devil in the White City at the H.H. Holmes property?
I was down in the basement of the post office that overlaps a bit with where the what they call it the Murder Castle now was.
Okay.
It was a building that he had down on 63rd Street. It had a couple of hidden rooms. But what I found really digging into the story, I got about a week left on the deadline before I'm turning in this like massive, massive H.H. Holmes book. A whole lot of that story came from an incompetent new police chief. We had a new chief on the force. He'd been on the job for 2 months. His previous job was selling flour and feed. Had clearly no idea what he was doing.
But he knew somebody. Was he related?
Oh, it was strictly a political appointment.
Oh, dear.
Strictly a political appointment. And he thought he had solved every single unsolved crime that had ever taken place in the city when he found that this guy's house had hidden rooms in it. And there probably were people who were killed in the place.
Right.
But then he started to say, you know, it was a lot of, we found a rope. He must have been hanging people. Oh. Or we found a wrench. Maybe he hit people over the head with the wrench.
Just making stuff up as he went along.
Pretty much making stuff up as he went along for about a week. The newspapers went along.
He's like a prop cop.
Yeah, he was. It was the butler with a candlestick.
Oh, dear. Let's take a break here. We'll talk more about H.H. Holmes and some of the tours you have coming up.
Sure.
After this message, more on 720 WGN. Craig, how am I supposed to get any work done? With whatever.
Listen to this.
What is going on? I don't know, but me and Esmeralda?
Yeah.
All about it.
Oh, wait. And there we go.
Oh.
We need some glow sticks.
Like rock set.
I'm sorry. Oh, you need some glow sticks. Yeah. I thought you were telling me the artist.
Throw me the glow sticks. Oh, I thought you...
If the artist was called We Need Some Glow Sticks, I would play all of their music all the time.
That is a great band name.
That is a great...
It really is.
Wheels in my head turning.
You see that? We need some glow sticks. I love that. We are hanging out in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Those are the voices of Adam Selzer, Dr. Daphne Scott, and I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. And we've been talking about the tours that Adam has coming up on Saturday, one for Atlas Obscura, which is the H.H. Holmes tour, and then Unsolved Mysteries after that.
Yep.
And a listener called in to ask about the most famous garage murder in Chicago.
Mm. That is St. Valentine's Day Massacre with four-part harmony and full orchestration.
I like that Adam follows the tradition of the show that if a word ends in R-E, you have to say the E at the end, like theatre.
Oh.
Or theatre.
I feel so unprepared.
That's one that people want to see all the time, isn't it?
People always want to see where the St. Valentine's Day
Because they saw the movie 7 Year Itch. Is that right?
Possibly, yeah. Possibly. Mm-hmm. There's that. There's also the Roger Corman made a St. Valentine's Day Massacre movie that's remarkably entertaining, even though it's really bad.
What's over there now?
Nothing. Yeah.
It's just an empty
space by a parking lot. Yeah, near a senior living apartment complex that does not necessarily like big crowds of people going up to talk about dead people in front of all the old folks.
I did see something where they said that like dogs kind of freak
out.
Yeah,
people. It's a longstanding thing. There was one survivor of the massacre. This, for those who might not know, is a thing where seven guys from the Bugs Moran gang, or five gangsters and two civilians, were lined up against a wall in a garage and shot, presumably by members of Al Capone's gang or some gang that Capone had brought in to do the job. There was one survivor, and that was a dog named Highball.
Oh.
And apparently the dog was so freaked out that if you believe in like ghosts and psychic imprints and stuff, it left behind something that will make dogs go nuts.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So not long ago, actually, I had a woman take a dog on my bus. And I told her, you know, she snuck it on. And I said, okay, I won't get mad as long as you'll just take it off at the St. Valentine's Day Massacre. So there's all these stories about dogs there. So we took the dog out. The dog ran through the fence right to the place where the bodies would have fallen.
Really?
Then pooped and came right back. And... leaving me up there to say, see, folks, scared the crap out of the dog.
Oh, that's perfect.
We have a listener on the line, Vic, who has some interesting information to share about a tour he's given. Hey, Vic, how are you doing?
How are you doing? You've talked to me before. I'm a Chicago historian.
Yes.
I have 100 books on Chicago. first tour in 1970, and I was there as a kid when Jimmy Stewart was shooting the movie Northside 777.
Oh, wow. There you go.
West Town, I'm walking, the Vision, there's a couple of scenes out there. But here's a couple interesting ones. When Belmont and Sheffield over there at the time is Tokyo Rose used to have a little store there, and I brought in some Pacific veterans about 20 years ago, and they were interested in meeting. She didn't talk too much, and just 3 weeks ago, I picked up a little as Fertile Smith of Amos and Andy appearing on Belmont and Sheffield Theater there in 32, and Gene Autry played the guitar on Division Street in 1933.
Right. Mm-hmm. And you were saying that there's a statue that has for the was it about Belgium?
Well, a lot of people may not know it. Logan Square was the Belgian community. They built St. John Birchman Church on Logan Boulevard over there, and one of the Belgians formed Henroten Hospital, which used to be on Les Trois. But they had a lot of stores there, and they had about 7 taverns on. 14 Avenue West to Western. There's still no building in Logan Square, and it says, I guess there was a little difference between the French speak and the Flemish speak, and going back to about 22, and it just says, all Belgians are created equal.
Oh, well, there you go. Well, thank you so much for sharing that information with us, Vic. We appreciate it.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. Bye-bye. Yes, and that will be that you're going to be calling into radio shows too, by the way, and sharing because you have so much information.
Probably.
What do you do with it all? Well, part of it is that you write books as well.
I just finished up. I just turned in an Unsolved Mysteries of Chicago book. That's why I was falling down all of these rabbit holes at the same time doing the H.H. Holmes book. That's due in about a week.
And you have another book that's actually, isn't there one that refers to Craig and myself?
Yeah, actually, I got an advanced copy of that in my bag right now.
Yeah. Oh, you do? How exciting!
In a historical context.
No, this is called Just Kill Me.
It's
Kill Me. It's coming out through Simon & Schuster in a while. It's about a ghost tour guide who makes places more haunted by killing people.
That'll
wow!
And in the,
this isn't biographical, right?
No, Adam, go ahead.
I'm getting that a lot already.
I am curious. Do one or both of us get murdered in this book?
No.
Okay.
No, but maybe, you know, it's kind of set up that could happen.
Spoiler alert.
The last scene, they're in the Tribune Tower on the Patty Show, and Craig, the producer, is saying 30 seconds, one live read. Esmeralda, the character doesn't know Esmeralda's name, so it refers to the woman in the traffic room.
The woman in the traffic room. Yeah.
That is my actual name.
It's on her birth certificate.
Yeah, Esmeralda, you're in it too.
And she also survives?
Yeah, she lives.
Okay, very good. And Craig is asking because in the script I wrote about a radio host, he actually does not survive the end of the
episode. Yeah, I don't make it.
He does not make it. I come into the studio and he's actually paralyzed. He's been injected with something that makes him sort of not able to move.
It's
rough. And he slowly suffocates while he dies in his chair.
Yeah.
Wow, yeah. You guys are really. This show is taking a
I wasn't trying to
turn.
Kill Craig. I'm not giggling.
No, it's fine. It's
Craig,
fine.
In the new script I have, you're a Brigadier General.
Wonderful.
At the Marine Corps.
You have, like, good insurance.
And
right,
Patty,
right?
How do I die in that one?
You don't.
Okay, good.
You're actually the kind-hearted Brigadier General.
Oh, nice.
Who is trying to learn empathy from the social media expert that has been brought in to work with
them. That all that sounds great. These are I approve of all these Craig characters.
There you go. Look at Daphne's like, I don't want to be written into
anything. No, please, I'm like, please don't write me into anything.
Oh, there you go. Done. I'm renaming one of my characters. Look out what you ask for.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't say things mm-hmm. like that.
Do you belong to this website, to this Facebook page, Forgotten Chicago?
I show up on there now and then, yeah.
Yeah, I get a lot of posts from this one. It's great because there's so many great pictures of all different parts of Chicago. And you get to see, like, all the trains and all the old trolleys. I was not around for any of the trolleys, but mm-hmm. So you have the tours. Oh, by the way, with the tours that you do, do people kind of follow along with their Google Maps? Are they?
People do occasionally. I can always tell when people are, like, trying to fact check me on their phones.
Oh gosh!
And I'm ready for that. You know, I, if they have alternate information, I probably know where they got that information and what, and I can go on at length if they need me to about the various footnotes and comparing different sources.
Yeah,
but that doesn't come up too much. That's part of why I really got into the research. I got a job as a tour guide first and got paranoid that people would fact check me on their phones, so I wanted to do the research, make sure I was getting all the stories right.
Yeah, no kidding. Especially if people are trying to fact check you.
And yeah, it doesn't happen very often.
No, but. Well, still, I would make me paranoid the whole time with people on their phones. What are you doing? What are you doing with your phone?
Yeah. little bit.
What are you doing? Now what are you doing? What are you doing with your phone?
I don't know, but I was just thinking, I bet you're awesome trivia night, right?
Until they get to the sports questions.
No, yeah, I wouldn't. Right. Yeah, we'll get somebody else for that.
Or, you know, every time I'm at a trivia night, they're having a lot of stuff about, like, cell structure. I know the mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell.
Well, I am a scientist. I can help you out. I can handle the cell questions.
Well, the reason I ask you about people following along with their Google Maps, I'm not a big fan of... Well, one, I have this problem, even when it comes to the ride shares, right, with Lyft or Uber.
Oh.
They often don't pick... They're always calling me and, like, I'm outside. And I'll look out my window. I'm like, no, you're not.
Like, no, I when they say that to me, I'm like, I know, but you're not anywhere near where I'm at.
Yeah. I can see actually on my phone where I can see the little blue dot as to where you are.
You might be outside.
I was outside on the phone with somebody and my writing partner, Amelia Serrano, and I had to go around the corner and half block down and I knocked on the window and I go, are you here to pick me up? And he goes, yeah, for Patty. And I said, what street are you on? Right. And he goes, what? And I go, what street address did you get? Because you're not on the street that it says in the requests.
Right.
And he had just followed the GPS location. So the reason I bring this up is that that annoys me. But Lindsay Diaz and Alan Cutter were proud owners of two halves of a duplex in Rowlett, Texas. It had been damaged by tornadoes over the Christmas season and was ready to be repaired, and things were looking up. They'd gotten some insurance checks in. However, a demolition company has torn it down by accident. The demolition company was supposed to take down a house a block away, but one of its employees has sent out images to the owner saying, well, this is where Google Maps told me to go. And it places a pin for the building that was supposed to be torn down. And that's it. They didn't. I don't know if they have said anything beyond that, but basically just sent the owners a picture that said, this is what Google Maps told me to do.
Oh, yeah, if they went up on Street Views or something. Street Views, the numbers-wise, is usually going to be a little bit off.
Yeah. It told me to go to this pin, so I tore down your house.
I feel like you should have done more checking once you got there.
Right.
Like,
just look at the number on the building once you get there.
Yeah. And the name of the street. It was actually, I believe it was actually even on a different street. Yeah, it just they just went to the pin.
So this is not. I mean, it kind of makes sense. This doesn't seem like a person with a lot of attention to detail,
right? Yeah.
So he's in the right job in terms of just tearing stuff down,
right? He just pulls a lever. I'm sorry. I don't want to. I'm not. Now I'm going down a different route of only because we're angry at this person for tearing down somebody's house. Am I demeaning anybody else's job? There's a lot of hard work to do out there, but this seems really beyond the pale of making
negligent.
A mistake. Yeah. Tearing down. And like, what was their plan if somebody was in the house too? Like, this is where the pin told me to go. It didn't tell me there was anybody in there.
Do you think they knocked?
Like, are these the kind of people that drive into rivers and stuff when the GPS says to do it? Like,
this has happened.
All right, I'm going to just go.
This has happened. Somebody died where they like drove off.
No.
Yes. No, they did.
Yeah, they drove off a bridge that was not complete because the GPS said go straight and without regard for what was
so they couldn't see that the bridge wasn't complete or they could. They just
we can only debate
that. Did they think
that.
It was an optical illusion or something?
We will never know.
We will
because
never know for sure.
Right.
They were following their GPS and continued to go straight.
I feel like you can tell.
Killed
if
by
the
technology.
This is the way the GPS told me to go.
I would think you could tell if the bridge was done, couldn't you? Although yeah. I remember there was a police officer where I was from in Michigan who they were building the highway. And so they had built sections. You know, sometimes the middle section isn't done. And he, early morning, saw that someone was out there and he chased him down and drove his car right off the edge of one of the off the unfinished section, which, you know, it's like 15 feet or something.
Bit of a drop off.
Yeah. Yeah. The person he was chasing was just a construction worker that worked on the side.
What?
Yeah, he drove his car right off it. So I don't know. Maybe you can't see.
The most ridiculous thing about this story is the last little sentence that they say that no one from the demolition company apologized.
No.
No, they're not sorry. You know, we went to this address. We destroyed the house. Too bad.
The CEO of the demolition company refused an on-camera interview, but said the crew assigned to the project thought they tore down the correct home until they realized they made a mistake and added the situation is not a big deal. However, that's what the CEO of the company said.
Yeah, we knocked down somebody's house that we weren't supposed to. That's not a big deal. I mean, come on. Yeah. Everybody leave us alone.
There's a bunch of houses.
Yeah. A couple
get
other
a
houses.
New one.
Right.
Yeah. Just to get a new house.
Yeah. The demolition permit for 7601 and 7603 Cousteau confirms that Billy Neighbor's demolition erred in tearing down another duplex a block over on Calypso.
Oh, so they weren't even on the right block.
This was my thing to my Lyft driver. You're not on the street that it tells you on the order for the car.
What are the homeowners saying?
By the way, I'm not saying my streets because Steve will flip out if I say the name of my... He loses it when... He's like, why do you tell people where we live?
Fair enough. No. So was there stuff in the house, like their furniture? And I mean, if you're preparing to have your house destroyed, you'd pull everything out.
Yeah, you get all the good stuff out. Anyway.
No, that's a good point, too. Like, if you glance in the windows and everything wasn't gone.
Like, their pictures?
That's
like
probably not supposed to be torn down.
Yeah, I am curious how they went about it. Like, were they just driving at full speed and just went, I think that's the house. Just hit it.
I'm not even going to slow down on this one, Billy.
Yeah, that's what I imagine, because how do you not stop and wonder... One, are there people in
okay,
there?
That's a pretty cool idea, though. If you can knock down a whole house by just driving right through it one time, like that, all right, fine, you guys.
How many
when they were knocking it down, weren't they kind of like, wow, it seems like these people left a lot of stuff in there. Like, why are all these clothes flying
around? It is a situation
around?
Of when you feel resistance, stop. Yeah. Right?
Like, no means no.
So I got this idea now. We should start ourselves a construction company. Then we go to Donald Trump's house. Mm. And it's like, then after he comes back and finds his house, we just go, no big deal.
I was following some posts on Steve Cochran's thread from WGN Radio on our Facebook page.
Yeah.
And the number of people who are like, I thought people were angry at me for sort of disparaging Donald Trump's candidacy.
Sure.
Wow. The people who are hating on Steve Cochran's sort of, because Steve goes, like, has people on and talks about, like, that he's kind of crazy and that this candidacy is really, so I was like, oh, I feel so much better now. People are hating all over the place.
Yeah.
Why are people hating so much, Daphne?
Well, people are very, very tied to their opinions and judgments and beliefs.
But why do they take it personally?
Well, because they believe that they are their opinions, judgments, and beliefs.
Oh. How do we help people?
Lots and lots of meditation would be my first suggestion.
Oh, that's not a good radio sound, is it? I apologize. There are people who
radio?
That was actually a big pet peeve for some people.
Lots of chanting.
Nom yo krengye kyo. Nom yo krengye. It's creepy when I do it.
Yeah, that's weird when you do it.
Going to go out to one of the rallies like, okay, folks, what you all need is to get yourself some of those finger symbols.
Yeah, there you go. No. Small chimes.
It's going to go over real well.
Is it more of a... Oh, you know what she needs? She needs some deep throat chanting. More after this on 720 W. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio, and it is time for our Pretty Late wake-up call. We tried calling Adam Selzer the other night because he's a night owl, so we figured we'd either wake you up
really,
and...
I'm not.
You're not anymore? I thought you were.
No, I'm an early riser.
Oh, how early do you rise?
Usually about 5:36.
Oh, so then I apologize that we tried calling you in the middle of the night.
That's fine. It was fun.
Then I'm glad that we got your voicemail.
It was fun. I played the voicemail for the kids on the bus.
Yes. So. Well, what we do is there are some people who do have to get up this early, including Marcus LeShock, who is one of the contributors to WGN Morning News. He gets up every morning at 2 a.m. We have to see if there's a couple other people. I know Tracy Butler has got to get up early because she's often listening to our show. So maybe we'll have to see if we can get Tracy's number, too. Who can we talk to about getting that number? Although at this time, she might already be on her way to work. Now, if we get the voicemail, it gives us a chance.
You reach Marcus LeShock. Leave me a message, and I will get back to you as soon as I can. Thanks.
Hey, Marcus LeShock. It's Pat.
Record your message. When you have finished recording.
Yes, there's more to go here.
Yeah, we got
to
wait for that.
Yeah. The instructions.
I do that all
the time. Excited. I do it. Hey, Marcus LeShock. It's Patty Vasquez.
Greg Collins.
Mm-hmm. Adam Selzer.
Esmeralda.
Yeah. Oh, me. Oh, Esmeralda.
Yeah, come on.
Adam Selzer.
And Daphne Scott.
You've never met Adam Selzer or Daphne Scott, and they're a regular guest of ours. Actually, we've got to see if we can have Marcus LeShock.
Can we do the roll call again? Because we sort of
yes,
that.
I know. Okay.
Adam bump, went, bump, and bump, I was bump, waiting Annette. For him to go.
I know. Yeah, that was very kind of you. Patty Vasquez here.
Greg Collins here.
Esmeralda Leon.
Adam Selzer.
And Daphne Scott.
Okay, we got it the second time,
that
Marcus.
Was good.
So just disregard the first.
Yeah. And Marcus LeShock.
Marcus LeShock.
I'll just edit that out.
Well, he's trying to get his last 5 minutes of sleep in, so I can't blame him.
No, it's fine.
It is fine.
He's probably already primping.
Primping?
Yeah, right?
I don't know if he would want you to describe it as that.
No,
he primps at
okay.
the station.
Yeah, and they primp for him.
Oh, they primp for him at the station.
Maybe they primp him?
Is this still on his voicemail?
Yeah,
we're all on his message voicemail.
No, just wait.
Don't worry.
No.
It's going to keep going.
Just you wait.
Yeah. You don't think he wants to call it primping? You don't think Marcus primps?
I see Marcus LeShock as a shower towel off, you know, a little hair product.
Otto, he's on the television. All the guys on the television have to. They got the makeup on. They do the whole thing.
But he doesn't do it at home.
Yeah, maybe he moisturizes. Maybe he lays on a base, like a primer.
What kind of moisturizer do you think Marcus uses? Has that evolved over the
years? Maybe something by Aveda.
Or Kiehl's.
Yeah,
Kiehl's. I don't know. Are you
very sensitive skin?
Yeah. Clinique makes a whole line of products for men.
I can't even imagine having all that, you know, kind of pressure to make sure that you're getting
Mary
your skin.
Kay.
Yeah.
You know what he's probably doing?
I would say
a good scrub and then a nice shave.
Mm-hmm. Maybe. Yeah.
Probably some exfoliant.
Do you think
freshener.
If you're going to be on TV in the morning, would you shave in the morning or is it better to like shave at night and then so you're not sort of raw? So your skin's not raw for television.
But doesn't it come back?
I would make myself look raw.
Does it?
I guess it depends how many hours, right? Like you need a couple hours after you shave to feel better about your skin and stuff.
Yeah. I would think it would grow back.
What, overnight while he's sleeping?
Yeah, I don't know how quickly it grows in.
Marcus isn't a werewolf.
I don't know about you, but I shave my legs the next day. It's back.
Oh.
Wow.
Okay, Esmeralda, try shaving right before you go to bed and wake up and see if it's all growing back.
Oh, I guess.
Yes.
I just think faces grow quicker.
Faces?
No, she was talking about your face, Esmeralda.
Face hair.
Face hair does grow really fast. I don't know about Marcus.
It varies from person to person.
Right, that's true. So Marcus now has to let us know what his rate of facial hair
is. We
want
to know what your hygiene regimen is, Marcus.
He's not like Homer, where he just shaves and it comes back immediately.
No, personally, I can't be clean shaven. It's just impossible. As soon as I shave, there's still hair is just already growing there.
It always looks like a 5 o'clock shadow.
It does, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a curse that I
bet you can grow a good beard, can't you?
I can grow an amazing beard.
And why don't you?
Yeah,
I don't
know.
Are we allowed to do that here?
Yes,
do
we're
it.
Overnight radio.
What? You don't think that anyone would react
no one sees
like a
you?
Certain... They do.
Have you not...
That's true. You go around. You leave your house.
Doesn't Rokan's producer have a beard?
I do leave my house. Yeah.
Have you not seen when Nick DiGilio...
Nick?
Well, no. Actually, 2 years ago, as Nick did, I also grew a playoff beard.
Yes, it was very... It was hardy.
It was hardy, but then there's a point where you just can't be taken seriously professionally.
Why?
Because of the amount of beard and the fact that it's all unkempt.
Well, you can keep it kempt.
No, exactly. not if it's a playoff beard. You can.
Yeah, but right now,
just in general, you could grow one right now and make that a bad boy.
Yes.
Okay. Well, how big is too big though?
Esmeralda, how big is too big
in my world?
Have you been on Milwaukee Avenue lately?
If it goes to your, it's never if it goes to your belly button, that's too
big.
Anything just slightly higher than the belly button is okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? You could even go belly button. But just keep it nice and trimmed.
Okay.
See, that's what I say.
Keep it high and tight.
We're agreeing to this right now. Everyone's agreeing to me having just a giant, ridiculous beard.
I am agreeing to you having a giant, ridiculous beard. Yes.
On Mark Leshock's voicemail.
Oh, you also have to moisturize it.
We do some stuff, though. We go to, like, clients and things every
that's
once
true.
In a while. I'm in a video.
Do videos.
But what will make it so valuable is if you just... just go into those meetings, but don't say anything.
We have to listen to your message.
I got it.
Oh, that was it? We ran out of time on his voicemail? Let's call and leave more. I'm kidding. It's okay.
We have to keep talking about this beard situation.
Yeah, I don't know. Is Vic Vaughn, is he a beard grower? Beard grower?
Vic has a small beard. It's not like a huge one, though.
Well, yeah, but it's still a
beard.
He's got a beard.
He does have a beard. Hey, Vic Vaughn.
Yeah, but it's still professional looking.
Hey, guys.
Okay. Hey.
How long is too long for a beard to be professional?
Yes.
Ooh, that's a good question.
Do you feel like you have the standard professional beard going right now?
I think I lost my credibility when I joined the Nick DiGilio show. Isn't that what Nick said, Esmeralda?
That you've lost all credibility?
Because we say weird things.
Oh.
Not because of your beard.
Not because of my beard.
No, it's because it's unbeard related.
Right.
I'm suffering for Vic when I hear him because he's struggling with his sleep patterns.
Did you see? I think I solved it. I've gotten a lot of advice from listeners, first of all, and I'm very thankful for all of that input. But
which one?
I bought a, what is it? It's basically like an indoor tent, really, is what it is.
You just
zip yourself inside it. It looks like a tent. It's a little smaller.
Wait.
Privacy Pop.
You put it right on Privacy Pop. That's the product name. You put it right on top of your bed, and, you know, it's like a dark, it's like a blackout tent, and, yeah.